Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a very informative and important radio show lined up for you today, and a lot of big events are transpiring. We're seeing the true birth of the monstrosity, the abomination known as the first true world government, which is really itself an extermination grid. So we'll be breaking that down today. We've got Bob Chapman joining us for an hour to take your calls, get into all the huge economic developments with his Friday visit with us. Then we have Janine Roberts. She is a British lady. And we've had her on, about 6, 7, 8 years ago. I first saw her with her documentary that aired on PBS. I'd already learned this when I was a child because my dad had friends that were in the international diamond business. They were French South Africans. And so he told me it was all a monopoly and there were giant warehouses of diamonds and that diamonds were semi-precious. I mean, literally worth the same amount as rhinestones, but people will mortgage their houses or 2 or 3 years pay, you know, just to buy their wife or sweetie a big diamond. And I halfway didn't believe my dad, but I knew he didn't make stuff up. And then I remember when I was a teenager, I saw her Diamond Empire film. Now, I didn't know, because it wasn't in the news, that they went on her yacht, told her you shouldn't have made that movie, broke her nose, knocked some of her teeth out. And she's married to a British lord. She's pretty powerful. It's one of these smart, rich ladies who, I guess, in her spare time likes to go out and make films. Very good filmmaker. Traveled all over the world because she was high up in the British system. They even let her into the mines. Some of the only footage ever out of those mile-deep mines where they've got huge air conditioners injecting AC in because it would be 150 degrees if they didn't. And they let her into the huge warehouses, just as far as the eye could see, giant chest of diamonds. And a lot has developed since I had her on. I think it was pre-9/11. So we'll have her back on the show today, Janine Roberts. We'll talk about her new book on the scams that are run with diamonds. And then we've got Barbara Lowe Fisher. You know, the enemy has struck back. We've been exposing the fact that autism, in many cases, is linked to thimerosal mercury preservative in the vaccines that are still in the vaccines. They'll lie and say they're out, but then you read the inserts, it's all still there. In fact, they increase the amount of thimerosal in most vaccines from 100 times safe levels to 500 times safe levels in the case of the flu shot. You can even find that AP headline. They just said, we have no reason to do this. We're not going to tell you why. You're trying to escape our shots? How about 5 times the amount? How's that sound? We will devastate you with a chemical weapon operation, and you will sit there gullibly and take it because you can't imagine we're that evil. That's the whole system. So we'll have Barbara Lowe Fisher, co-founder of the nonprofit National Vaccine Information Center, who was involved very closely with this federal court paid for by the vaccine companies, their own kangaroo court, saying, we decide there's no evidence of this causing problems. So we'll break that down with her today in the fourth hour. In the meantime, there is a large stack of very, very important news here in front of me. 6 banks cede control to governments. U.S. economy shrinks at fastest pace in 26 years. Obama prepares to revise Iraq troop plans and increase troops, and he'll look in 23 months. It may be then in 23 months more. See, now, never leaving. It's the same story with Bush. Same story with Obama. But now the liberals are like, hey, I love war. Let's get tough on Al-Qaeda. Woohoo, yeah. You're right. Show them, Obama. Yeah, drop some hellfire missiles on people. Yeah. We're getting tough. Kill them brown people. Yeah. Yeah, Obama, man, he's got it. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The nation has been seized by open, wanton criminals engaging in every crime known to man. They have high-tech propaganda systems busily brainwashing the public, manipulating the public with every psychological warfare tactic known, testing their systems upon the slaves. And until we realize this and say we're not slaves and we see through your matrix illusion, it's only going to get worse. Now, Obama has unveiled his actual tax plan as of last night. You know, he promised no new taxes except for people making over $250,000 a year. That's joint incomes. And that's going to hurt the economy in a big way. I know most people think that somebody making $250,000 a year is rich. But by the time they devalue the currency at right now 15% inflation a year, it's going to move into over 20%. All that's going to do is those yuppies and the lawyers and the doctors and the person that owns a restaurant or whatever, a successful restaurant, they're not going to come in your little boutique and buy your little sweaters and shoes. They're not going to come in your little grocery store. They're not going to buy wine. They're not going to come in your car dealership and buy a car from you if you're a car salesman. And things will get worse and worse in the economy, and then everybody will basically go on welfare, and they've announced that. They're going to give you a national ID card with little credits on it, and you'll live in tiny government housing, and you'll be disarmed, and you'll have gangs running around shooting you and killing you, and the police will just cordon off the reservation area. And you'll sit there just looking up with love at Obama on the TV screen, loving him. You'll probably even have a little, they're announcing a little uniform for yourself to feel good. A little cell phone to tattle on neighbors. You'll feel very important. They're setting it all up. I mean, you couldn't make this up. It's so crazy. It's really happening here. All set up for decades. Northcom, the systems of control all being built, the architecture being constructed, and now Obama's announcing basically taxes on everything. You know, his carbon tax alone will shut down many of the businesses, many of the places where a few Americans were still employed. Those that stay open will have to up their prices. They won't be able to compete with China and India and 160 other third world countries that have no carbon emission controls. And so they will end up shutting down. So that's a huge tax on everybody. That's just the first tax. There's hundreds in the carbon tax family being implemented by cities and counties everywhere. And they've got taxes now on charity. Yeah, don't give to charity. And they're going to have taxes on capital gains. And they're going to have taxes on basically everything. Now, we've broken down the fact that about $200 million of the $787 billion stimulus package will actually go to the people in some form or fashion, but with federal strings attached. So $200 billion versus $9.7 trillion to the bankers domestically, and then tens of trillions worldwide. You know, England putting in 500 and something billion, France putting in 400 and something billion, the Dutch putting in hundreds of billions, the Japanese putting in hundreds of billions, the Chinese putting in hundreds of billions. Those are going into the private banks with all these governments held hostage saying, okay, we'll do whatever you say. Just let the credit flow. Let the credit flow. The banks go, no, we want more now. And so you get $200 billion with strings attached, the only tax cut out there for people under $250,000 a year joint incomes. That's $125,000 apiece. The only tax decrease is, what, $15.50 every 2 weeks. A pizza every 2 weeks. So yes, a pizza every 2 weeks. And Obama's budget is $3.5 trillion. And he just announced now that he wants another 800 and something billion on top of the one plus trillion defense budget. I mean, he said he wanted a bigger military, a military buildup, and it's happening. And that's it. And then most of the big defense contractors are subcontracting out the components of the weapon systems to China and Europe and other nations. They're making a lot of Defense Department components in Mexico now. They're taking $1 billion of the General Motors bailout and building a plant down in Brazil. They're all globalists. It's a big joke, a big looting celebration by the ruling class. They don't want a free market. They don't want a good economy. They don't want you doing well. Israel wants their country to do well, and so they're just cutting taxes across the board, no tax increases, and that will help their economy. More money comes into the treasury when you cut taxes, and that's a historical fact. Because people spend more. They keep more of their money. That is the best way to spend money into the economy. This is control. I mean, having all this talk of nationalization and constant talk by world leaders of depression is destroying confidence in the economy so that they can have a fire sale. And then people email me accusing me, oh, all your bad mouthing of the economy, Alex, you've caused all this. I get that every day. I see it in the comments. No, we explained the bankers were going to blame it on the subprime mortgage that it had nothing to do with. Notice in day one they said that wasn't what the bailout was for when they had said it was all along. And that they were then going to badmouth the economy, drive it down, and set up a new bank of the world that you pay carbon taxes to. And exactly that has happened. And I've been telling you that for a decade. We pinned, we pegged, we fingered the fact that they would blame it on subprime 3 years ago, a year and a half before that even started. We're on record in triplicate. We told you Mexico was going to be collapsed by design with a right-wing government they were going to put in even before Fox left, before Calderon was on the radar screen, and that it would collapse and that they would have martial law on the border and actually issue some new regional ID card to legalize the illegal aliens. It's now happening. So I'm going to say it again to the skeptics out there. You better listen. I know you have this false idea about the world. It's like your little teddy bear, your busy bee you snuggle with at night, your little chew toy. You're like a two-year-old. And you're in love with this false image of America and this false image of who you are in it. And let me tell you something. Your bosses in the New World Order are going to hurt you bad. They don't care about you one scintilla. In fact, they enjoy hurting you. And here come the taxes. One of the taxes alone is a $1 trillion tax increase. And they're changing. Look, this already happened with taxes. And anybody who pays taxes, you know, most folks have their money withheld, so they don't realize how much is being taken from them. They don't realize their employer has to match the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid funding. Let's say you make $20 an hour. And you've got to pay, on average, $5, $6 of that in taxes, and a large portion of that Social Security. Your employer has to match that. So, see, you're really making $28 an hour. Let's say you're making $10 an hour, but you end up getting about $7.50 on each check. Your employer is really paying you $13 an hour. But in the tax breaks, in the tax system, they've gotten rid, for the little people, of almost all the loopholes. You can't even buy equipment now and or raw materials for your business or company and write it all off in most cases. But then, meanwhile, it comes out in mainstream news that literally no one in the Obama administration is paying taxes. Rahm Emanuel lives in free palace-sized houses paid for by billionaires when he's a congressman, when he's a White House chief of staff. They drive around in free limos, free helicopters, free everything. The guy back when he was working for a big brokerage firm ripping folks off was making between $15 and $18 million a year. This is just Rahm Emanuel. He is for total gun ban of the American people, a complete criminal. And I mean, he's tied into all the Chicago mobsters, all the big money. This is on record, and he doesn't pay income tax for years. For years. Kurt Newman wrote a story about it with mainstream media links in the story. He just doesn't pay. They just don't pay. They're completely lawless. So remember, $9.7 trillion and counting, and this is 6 months into the banker takeover, 5.5 months in. So if in half a year they've stolen $9.7 trillion, in a year at this pace, and now they're saying even more, it'll be $20 trillion. The entire economy, the GDP, everything is $13 trillion in the U.S. This is killing the country. They're murdering it while telling you they're trying to fix it. They know exactly what they've been doing. They've done it in hundreds of third world nations over and over and over and over again. And you watch them up there in Congress giving high fives and laughing and giggling and smirking. It is such a big joke to them. They've already stolen more money in 5.5 months than the entire economy made in that 5.5, 6 months. You understand that? They're buying up everything with your money. And then now, all these tax increases are to pay for that, and it won't even come close to paying. They're going to grab every American around the throat, no matter how poor you are, how rich you are, and they're going to squeeze money out of you, except for the ruling elite who are exempt from all their own laws. They're going to sit up there surrounded by police wearing black helmets with those stupid SWAT team faces. I've got these video of New York and D.C. cops. They just look like something out of a cartoon movie of a thug. Just around them with machine guns going, the theft is ours, stand down, we rule, stay there and take it, slaves, take it or we'll kill you. By the way, the Pentagon wrote the battle plan to invade Iraq while they controlled Saddam Hussein and used him as a kamikaze military system against the Iranians in the 80s. That was declassified in the mid-90s. And it was to break the country up, basically like it is now, put in permanent bases over the three regions, have a puppet unification government. And then going back 5.5 years ago, after they invaded and took over, they stated we're going to build all these permanent bases, giant embassies, and never leave. They will be there, they said, in 100 years. And then Bush would say, oh, we're going to look in 16 months, that's their favorite number, at then setting a date. And Obama said, nope, day one, we're going to pull the troops out. Then he said, well, 6 months, and then 16 months, and then, well, 23 months, and then we're going to look at what we're going to do, and it's just going to be the main combat force. We're still going to have our troops there. So it's doublespeak. And the left would deny that and say, no, he didn't say that. No, you watch, you watch. And I'm like, here's the Defense Department. He's keeping Gates on. Now he's publicly announced it. And suddenly the left on CNN and MSNBC, you know, those fake left shows are, hey, we're getting tough against Al-Qaeda. What do you expect? We have to. And Iran's deadly. They're about to destroy us. We've got to hit them, got to strike them now. And all these new taxes on the entire population. And you talk to people, the Kool-Aid drinkers, and it's just like people that supported Bush who were Kool-Aid drinkers. It didn't matter. You know, he'd be for the assault weapons ban, and they'd say, no, he's not, liar. And I'd go, okay, well, here he is lobbying Congress. Here's the Associated Press. What? I guess you like the Democrats then. And I'm like, no, I like the Second Amendment. Can we just admit that both parties are anti-Second Amendment? Can we get our country back? It's just horrible what's happening, and they know that during a contracting economy, you don't want more taxes, but they're doing it. In fact, let's play this little CNN piece that's actually pretty shocking because it's somewhat accurate, dealing with taxes. Here it is.
American Morning, the most news in the morning, period, weekdays 6 Eastern. If you're one of the millions of wealthy Americans, Carol, you're going to get stuck with the bag here on this.
I think so, you know, but the president's job isn't easy. He needs money and lots of it. And where do you find money these days? Well, you find it in the pockets of those who have it.
It is a daunting task. By the end of this fiscal year, America will have a deficit to the tune of $1.75 trillion. How do you cut that in half by 2013 and pay for pricey new programs? At least in part, by taxing the rich.
And we'll save billions of dollars by rolling back tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans while giving a middle-class tax cut to 95% of hardworking families.
Not unexpected.
$250,000 a year.
$250,000 a year?
Yes, asking the folks who are making more than $250,000 a year, $250,000 a year, to go back to the tax rates they were paying in the 1990s.
Mr. Obama has talked about taxing the rich ever since, well, Joe the Plumber.
When you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
Back then, spreading the wealth meant Mr. Obama would let the Bush-imposed tax cuts for the wealthy expire. Today, it means a whole lot more. The president is also proposing to reduce deductions on mortgage interest and on charitable contributions, raise taxes on capital gains and dividends, and require wealthy Medicare beneficiaries to pay more for medical care and prescription drugs.
Milady, a woman of your beauty has no need for such decorations.
How dare you?
All right, hit pause.
Some say...
You know, I say somewhat truthful. It's actually pure deception. The info is accurate, but it's all, oh, he's got a tough job. Oh, he's got to do it. Oh, you know, he's taxing the rich, redefining somebody making $125,000 a year as rich when that's middle class. And that's who literally funds the economy. The rich hold on to their money, the billionaires, the people that control trillions. And then they bill Obama as Robin Hood. Oh, he's robbing from the rich, giving to the poor. And the poor are like, yes, get them the person that makes $125,000 a year. Meanwhile, I don't know, what's $200 million that actually went to the people, $15 every 2 weeks, versus the fact that $9.7 trillion, 90-plus percent of the money's going to offshore banks, the true elite? That's where all the money's going. But see, they tell the public, oh, he's like Robin Hood. He takes the rich lady's rings and gives it to the poor. Nice, simple, you know, junior high level for the general public, and they sit there watching it, smiling, going, yes, get the rich. There's people all over the world firebombing nice cars and things now, thinking that's the rich. Just absolutely ridiculous. We'll be right back. Citibank is now being imploded by design. City in the sewer is the headline. Shares down 36% in just the first 5 hours of trading. Russian bomber neared Canada on eve of Obama visit. Timing was suspect, menacing our dear leader. Nuke bombers menacing the United States. That's because weapons are being moved in encircling Russia and being moved into the Arctic Circle. We're going to get into the economy. We're going to get into exclusive White House to host members of Congress to build support for keeping 50,000 troops in Iraq forever. Told you that was the official Pentagon plan. There's the official plan, and then there's what they tell the public. Banks cede control to government. U.S. economy sinks again at record level. Federal government says they're basically going to come in and take over Citibank, but that's not what's happening. The private Federal Reserve is taking it over with your tax money. CNBC analyst says global bank, global currency is being set up. DNA samples from children held in secret registry. That's out of England. Same thing here in the U.S. It's totally lawless. It's all illegal. They just do whatever they want. Here's a mainstream news article out of Now Toronto. Busted for chocolate. They had organic chocolate bars, and the police didn't care. They just said, you're going to jail. This is drugs. That's how it works now. Airlines are preparing to start charging up to $2 for using the bathroom. They're looking at that. That's just some of it. And I mentioned how arsonists, it's happening in the U.S., it's happening in Germany, it's happening all over. This is out of Bloomberg. They're attacking what looks like wealthy people's houses and cars all over the world. And the article says the police say it's because the people are angry that these are rich people. Let me give a news flash to the young hooligans out there that are angry about the economy. It's the bankers. It's your God Obama, the puppet, your God Bush. You need to understand that, because I guarantee you the people torching cars, most of them love Obama. You know, they think he's robbing the rich to pay the poor. And let me explain something. It says they're torching things like $35,000 BMWs. That's not the elite. That's the person that comes in the restaurant you work at and eats. But this is class warfare. This is what the elites are setting up. The big elite banks always, in other nations they bring down, play the working class off against the middle class, because the working class thinks that if somebody has shiny rims, they're rich. Or if someone has bling, they're rich. Let me tell you, the real wealthy people hide their wealth and live offshore outside this nation. They live on private islands. So we'll get into that and a bunch of other really important news. We've got Bob Chapman coming up in about 25 minutes. Then we've got Janine Roberts about the false scarcity, artificial scarcity, diamond trade, and then Barbara Lo Fisher on the whole vaccine autism situation that the media is trying to twist and spin and lie about. But right now, for the balance of this segment, I wanted to get Steve Schenck on today, because Steve Schenck has been in the storable foods business for 28 years. I bought a lot of storable foods over the years and didn't like a lot of the quality of it, I'll tell you. And when I bought his food 7 years ago, it didn't have any MSG. It was non-GMO. It was the best price I found out there and delivered the quickest, just in a few weeks. And so we went out and got him as a sponsor. But I wanted to have him on to track what's happening in the economy and what's happening in food cost for him. Steve Schenck, thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, it's great to be aboard, Alex. You know, you talk about tracking what's going on. I'm sure that you picked up on this, but any of the states, now we've got a really strong movement for state sovereignty, but the states that buy into the bailout, the governors of those states, I don't know if your listeners realize this, they get a slush fund. The governor of Utah got an $87 million slush fund.
Yeah, it's a payoff.
Yeah, they're buying the governors. And a couple of things, of course, your listeners will be glad to hear that their money is going to be spent to pay the rent for some of the folks that can't pay theirs, which I'm sure everybody's delighted at struggling to pay their own house payments and helping to pay everybody else's too. That's wonderful.
Hey, Robert Reich said literally, because we made the comment that the highway funds will really only help illegal aliens and the big highway contracting companies, the rich guys, the illegal aliens, and then the Obama administration official came out and said, yeah, we don't want this money going to white males, construction workers.
Yeah, isn't that something? Well, the real kicker for me was that $15 million of the Utah slush fund is to go to Hollywood to encourage them to come and make films in Utah. But, you know, be that as it may.
Are you kidding? You know, the Hollywood payoff is in the over $40 million, but you're right. It's a lot of, you know, it's just in the millions in your state.
Yeah, I understand. One of the things that we need to watch very carefully is the increase in food stamps is just absolutely horrendous, which means a lot of good people are out of work and they're not making money. But one of the concerns that we're actually looking at is that the way things are operating, those of us who are paying the bills and still can pay our bills have to wonder when the food shortages occur, and I've got a food shortage that we need to really address real quickly, but when those food shortages occur, when someone stands in line, some of your listeners that have been able to be prudent and put away you know, the funds and be able to take care of themselves, when they stand in line at the grocery store with cash and they're standing next to somebody with food stamps, the way that things are going with this particular administration, is it possible that someone with food stamps would be given priority to have the food if there's not enough for both?
Well, let me say this. You know, it's not even food stamps anymore. It's a federal ID that has credits put on it, and they're saying that they're going to end up just putting most Americans on this, and it's already an all-time record people getting food aid.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that your listeners need to be aware of is when we're buying out in front, when the warehouse is buying out in front of all this food that is being shipped out to folks, one of the issues that has come up in the last 2 weeks is potatoes, whether they're dices, slices, or mashed potatoes. Right now, the dried potatoes are sold out by most suppliers through all of next year. They are taking no more orders through all of next year.
Well, let me stop you there, Steve, because a year ago on this show, you said that there would be food shortages in 2009. Now, every day on TV, Zbigniew Brzezinski on MSNBC, we played the clip last week, world leaders, Gordon Brown, and I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if you're right. I hope you're wrong. But you've been right all along. They're saying we're going to have food riots and riots in the United States soon. There's already riots, and three governments have fallen in Europe over food because people are starving and the governments can't even issue them the food cards. So Mexico is collapsing. Martial law has been declared on the Texas-Mexico border. This is mainstream news. So we're not trying to scare people. Folks are insane if they don't have food, water filters, and guns, and a willingness to defend themselves.
Well, and there are three little issues that I really need to point out. As you know, Alex, we've got a can of seeds up on the internet for $39.95, and it's got 23,000 seeds in it, and it's superior to anything else that's out there. One of the things that people are mistaken about is they're being told, hey, put in a food supply, and it's in the form of seeds. If you got to wait for a garden to grow for your food, you're going to get awful dadgum hungry.
No, you need
and
both,
if
folks.
If anybody's paying more than $40 for a garden in a can, they are just absolutely being ripped off, and it's misdirection, basically. What people have to do is get real food, whether they get them from eFoods Direct or wherever they get them.
Well, you need both. I mean, I've told people they need to get, even if it's 5 acres in the country somewhere, if they have to stay in the city and work, they need to, you know, if you've got the money, an RV. The point is, put in a garden now. Learn how to do it now, but have the storable food so that while you get self-sufficient, you have both. You've got to have both. You've got to have backup.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't buy enough food to last for 10 years. The fact is that you've got to become self-reliant. One of the things that I needed to point out, these little 3-day packs that we started sending out, Alex,
yes,
they are going out literally by the thousands, but what people aren't doing is they're not opening them up. And what we did was we put some goodies in there. We put some free samples for them to give their neighbors, and we also put a coupon that if they buy other purchases, they have a discount on those.
Yeah, the 3-day first responder. The 3-day responder for $21.95, folks, that is 3 days of food, and it's really a sample of what the J. Michael Stevens Group and eFoodsDirect.com offers. So you need to open it up, eat it, try it out, see how good this storable food is, and also use the coupon, folks.
Yep, absolutely. The main thing right now, Alex, is that things are falling apart so quickly that those people that have ears to hear and eyes to see must become self-reliant. I think it's been proven that every step that they're taking with this bailout money, every step that they're taking is meant to control people. And the more control that they have, this national ID card, they're telling the states that, go ahead and issue your own cards, but anything that's controlled by the feds, which is all food, all transportation, all of everything basically in your
banking,
life.
Banking, flying, education. College, you're going to have that. It's already a world ID card through the feds. Now, I want to just back you up on something. Folks can Google this. It was a major university study, came out 3 months ago. 7 million starved to death during Great Depression. That's the headline. You can pull up the actual study. It's a group of studies. Now, that was when 90% of people were supposedly self-sufficient in the country. Now we're 90% urban. And the 10% on the country, only half of them are self-sufficient. So 5% of the public self-sufficient versus 90% that were self-sufficient during the Great Depression that lasted a decade. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, we hope for the best, plan for the worst here. I don't know how to say it. I only promote what I believe in, and I believe in getting storable foods, and I believe in the trusted source. There's a lot of talk out there, but I give you my word, the J. Michael Stevens Group, they are not fly-by-night. They are the folks to go with. They are the high-quality food, and I want you to give them a call. Steve, before we run out of time, please have folks, give them the number, give them the website, tell them some of the food packages you've got.
Okay. The website is efoodsdirect.com. That's the letter E, FOODSDIRECT.com. And the phone number is 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. The seed pack, obviously, anything more than $40 for a seed pack, it's just absolutely insane. The 3-day responder pack is really cool, but you got to open the silly little thing and get your coupon out, and also the free samples to give your friends so that they get food too. And of course, the 2-month grab and go, which is just absolutely, it's all prepared stuff. You add water and heat it, and this is what a lot of families, Alex, are using for their backup to throw in their car if they have to get out of Dodge. They're putting it in hunting camps, all sorts of things. And then, of course, the standard, the 1-year supplies that people put in multiples. And the average right now, most of the Christian community out there is thinking at least 3 years' worth of food just based on the scriptures. And that's supported by what's happened in other countries, too. But very simply, Alex, I just appreciate your support of getting people fed. The only way that people can be fearless in these very fearful times is to be independent. And very simply, all the money that's coming out from the government does not create independence. It creates dependency, and you will pay if you take a drink at the federal trough.
Yes, and when we read the IMF and World Bank documents, they brag how they brought down hundreds of third world countries and Western nations, and that they're doing it now. It's the IMF World Bank documents. Just Google that. Greg Palast, BBC. He broke this in late 2001, early 2002. I put it in my book, Descent into Tyranny. You have to understand this is by design, and everything is meant to make things worse. They call it the IMF fire sale that comes after the IMF riot. They cause an economic situation that causes riots like Argentina. Just look at that in 1999-2000. They went from being first world, as wealthy as the U.S. per capita, to Ted Anderson was just down there a few months ago on his honeymoon, and it was just absolutely, he said families, and they're Western folks. They look just like Americans, most of them down there. You know, we have the image of brown people living in the street, and it's terrible, but he said it was just white families, you know, good-looking families, good-looking black families, you know, Hispanic, white, just living everywhere, smog everywhere, starving, you know, children. I ought to get Ted on to talk about that. This is what the bastard bankers did. And 2 weeks after the bankers collapsed Argentina, the Washington Post reported a cattle trailer with cattle dumped over. There were dead cattle on the road, and middle-class families, it described them, were sitting there with knives, cutting off globulets of beef, gobbling raw beef. I mean, like animals. That happens within a week and a half to 2 weeks. The Pentagon studies show a maximum of 15 days. People turn into raving lunatics. And all the new taxes, all the new regulations is meant to fully bankrupt this country. So you've got to go to the government with handouts to live in their control grid. Give them the number so people don't have to be dependent. Steve Shane.
800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. eFoodsDirect.com. Thanks, Alex.
You bet. Give them the number again.
800-409-5633. The main thing that has to happen, Alex, is that people, unless they are independent, that dependency will create their virtual demise. It's just.
And by the way, Steve, as you know, they've introduced the assault weapons ban. ABC News, they're going to push it, and they're going to add basically physically banning them, national registration, federal psychological testing. It's all happening. Get your guns as well, folks.
Yep.
Give them that number again, eFoodsDirect.com or
800-409-5633.
Well, Steve, I appreciate the great job you're doing, and I'm just honored to be working with you as well. And thanks for giving us that update. And I know you've got a big announcement coming up soon. I hope to get you back up as soon as possible.
We'll get it going.
And you're going to have people there to take orders throughout the weekend?
Absolutely. All the time.
So folks can call there or go to eFoodsDirect.com, watch all the videos that they have there on the site as well. Thank you, Steve Schenck. God bless you.
Take care, Alex.
All right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with more financial news. Then Bob Chapman and your phone call. Stay with us. We are going to open the phones up for the entirety of the next hour for your questions on the economy with a man who has just had a stunning record of accurate predictions and trends forecasting, Bob Chapman of theinternationalforecaster.com. I'm Alex Jones. My websites are prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. Yeah, there might still be time, folks, if we can identify the criminals, which we've done, educate the public about who they are, take back control of our states, then the federal government, and arrest the heads of the Federal Reserve and the New World Order. We can do it. You know, I got a video clip that's up on prisonplanet.com. Steve Watson wrote it for infowars.net. CNBC anchor is mortified that Ron Paul was allowed airtime. We're going to play part of that clip next hour. And Ron Paul gets a little more aggressive with Bernanke and just says, look, you can't pop up the bubble. You know, your Federal Reserve, I wish he'd come right out and say engineered all this, but he goes after him in the banking committee. Bernanke looks upset, and they cut to the sycophants on CNBC, and they're just like, how dare him? This is not going as planned. No, it's not. And they get mad and say, we were supposed to cut to a feed of Bernanke in his opening statement. We only want to hear from him. We don't want to hear from these congressmen that just want to grandstand. Yeah, how dare the Congress people elected by the population get angry at the private bankers that did all this? How dare whoever at CNBC that cut to live Ron Paul questions? And see, I've always pointed out, back when I had time before I was making the Obama deception, I'd get on the treadmill or stair-stepper in the garage for about an hour in the morning, and so I'd watch C-SPAN hearings that were live in the morning, and I'd see Ron Paul and everybody else tearing them up and bringing up the New World Order and everything, and the bankers, you know, on the hot seat, on and on and on. But then I'd turn over to CNBC. They would only cut to the feeds on Fox and CNBC and CNN when Bernanke or Paulson or Geithner or now all these guys are up there putting out their lies. They never show what the congressmen do. Oh, but the anchors freak out when Ron Paul actually made it on TV. So this is the type of stuff we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get into this later in more detail, but there's more lies. You know, Obama is saying, hey, we want marijuana to be under the same laws that prescription drugs are. And if you see what the feds are doing, they're moving away from saying marijuana is basically bad and we want to raid everybody who has it, to if we catch you with it without a prescription, we're going to give you the type of charge like you had hydrocodone or codeine or morphine or something. And so in a press conference, the gun banning attorney general, Eric Holder, was asked about this. It's in the San Francisco Chronicle today. And he went on and said, the reporters were saying, we thought you were going to change federal marijuana policy and let the states, you know, have their say. And the headline is U.S. to yield a marijuana jurisdiction to states. And he says, well, we haven't had because they've stepped up raids on medical marijuana dispensaries. And he said, well, give us time. You know, we're looking at only, you know, dealing with it like it's a prescription drug. Well, all the time people get pulled over who have the prescription drugs, even with the prescription, in a little pill case, and the police take them to jail. So, no, we need complete decriminalization of marijuana, and the country is going to collapse completely, totally, if we don't end this drug war. Look, the Mexican government admits their drug war is making the country collapse. If you decriminalize narcotics, every study shows, and Europe's done it, drug use goes way down, and the criminals don't have this lucrative business. Okay? It is pathetic and sad to use cocaine or heroin. It's pathetic and sad to use ecstasy. You don't want to lock people up for it. Because when you do that, it makes it be a black market and have incredible value, and then it brings more of the drugs into your community because it's so profitable. It's very simple. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have begun simulcasting an hour early today, live at prisonplanet.tv. Bob Chapman, with his Friday visit, is with us for the full hour. We're going to break down the huge developments in the markets. Right now, Citibank's shares are down by 36% and plunging as we speak, clearly done by design by the central banks. Even mainstream media admits that by bad-mouthing and talking about nationalizing, it's driving down Bank of America and Citibank. The private Federal Reserve is using the government envelope or glove and calling it nationalization. It's really financial domination, financial hijacking. We'll get into that. We'll get into all the latest economic numbers that just came out today, like a record plunge in the overall economy of 26%. We'll break all that down with Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com right now. Bob, thank you for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, and it's very nice to be here.
Let's get right into it. What you think is most important happening in the economy right now?
Well, the episode that you just talked about, which is ongoing, Citigroup and its machinations. The reason they don't want nationalization is that in nationalization, the people who own stock in the company lose out in totality. That's number one. Number two, the bondholders get wiped out, or they get a piece of what's left, but there may not be much left. Number three, it exposes the tremendous amount of derivatives that Citigroup is involved in. It kills all of the bonuses, all of these extra golden parachutes and all those kinds of things that the management has. So rather than do that, nationalize, they privatize, as you brought out in the program before. And it's a consolidation of the major banks who make up a good part of the business in the United States. And in privatizing, they're able to better control the movement of finance in the United States. And so these are the main things. And, of course, unfortunately for the shareholders, It's been an absolute nosedive, and they've just well, we went short the stock. We bet it was going to go down at $38 a share, $42 a share, somewhere up there. I kind of get it mixed up with J.P. Morgan because we shorted that as well, around the same price, and that's selling for around 20. But as you pointed out, the Citigroup is down 56 cents today. It's selling for about a buck and a half. And we'll probably cover that short. In other words, buy it in at somewhere around a dollar, I hope. And the subscribers will have made the difference between, say, $40 and $1, which is an awful lot of money.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bob. Specifically, let's start going over after the break. We have a long segment, the economic numbers The economy, they're reporting, is contracting at a record pace right now. And I want to break down China saying they may not continue to buy as much of the T-bills. And where you see the globalists, you know, week to week, so much happens now. It's like a year has passed in what would normally transpire in financial times. And then I also want to early on go to phone calls for listeners specifically that have questions for you about the market. And then we'll talk about gold up above 1,000, then down to, you know, below 950, now racing back up. You predicted it would race up above 1,000, then go back down and then find its bottom and then go up way past 1,000 a month ago. So we'll see what your predictions are for where it's going to be going now and the new numbers that it's going to be testing. Bob Chapman is our guest. We are simulcasting live at PrisonPlanet.tv here on the radio show. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, back live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. How are things going for the globalists and their worldwide consolidation? They're all over the news again this week, saying world government's the answer, world banking. Obama has announced his carbon taxes. They've now got a flotilla of mainstream news articles. You can just Google, put a carbon tax on children. That's really the one-child policy. They're racing ahead. Now Obama's announcing scores of new taxes, not just people making $125,000 individually or $250,000 together as couples. They're announcing, so let's talk about it, the taxes, the globalist agenda, the economy rapidly contracting. I mean, the economists know and admit that slashing taxes will get the economy going. Clearly, by increasing them, they know that this is meant to stall things further so they can consolidate.
I think you're right, particularly on the taxation issue. Of course, the money that they've been spending is atrocious. Even the Obama administration said that they were going to have a deficit of $1.75 trillion, and there's other estimates that are close to $2 trillion. And so, you know, we've been right on our guesstimates. Actually, ours started at 1.3. And then we get into it deeper, and it's like going through a garbage dump, and it just keeps on getting worse. But anyway, what's going on in the markets here is great indecision, because I don't think Wall Street and professional investors quite envisioned the changes that are taking place and be the kind of changes that they anticipated. And so they didn't happen. Worse things did. You know, higher taxes, particularly if they put taxes on share transactions, which they've talked about as well, is not very good for Wall Street. The earnings are going to probably come in on the S&P 500 about $28. And that would reflect into the Dow selling, Dow Jones Industrial selling around 6,000. So I'm looking at 6,000 to 6,600, somewhere down in there. And the market has no real strength. Every time it tries to put a rally on, it's cut short. The same thing happened again today, and it's in progress. As far as the gold is concerned, we've had a very quick correction this week. It swung down through the 930 area, which was about a $70 adjustment over 4 days. And actually, you know, for you people who haven't been in the market for years like I have, when you have adjustments like that and they're quick like that, they're very, very good. Now, I know an adjustment isn't good, but if you're going to have one, that's the best kind to have when it happens quick. And it happened quick. The question is this the bottom? It could be 900. It could be here. Don't know for sure. And it'll turn around and go right back up again and test 1,000. I think should happen immediately or fairly quickly. If it doesn't, it'll certainly happen by the fall. And so gold is going to break out. And the insiders know that. They're just trying to delay it as long as possible, just like they are trying to delay what's going on in the markets and in the economy and in finance. And those figures they came up with this morning about GDP falling in the fourth quarter, what was it, 6.3%? The figures are even worse than that. I mean, you know that they never tell the truth.
Yeah, they're saying biggest drop in 26 years.
Yes, that's correct. And that's going to continue and it's going to get worse. Now, the feed-in of the monies that are coming from the stimulus package are not really going to make a great deal of difference this year. It'll help a little. And that's going to cause the, depending upon whose ratings you look at, on Mr. Obama, one of them 64, the other's 54, he's going to be down by September, October, around 40 to 35. Because people are going to realize that this program is just not going to work that well.
Do you see them staging a terror attack around that time to try to rally support around the messianic leader? I mean, I don't see them getting their agenda through without them staging a terror attack, releasing a bioweapon to pose as saviors, or launching a new war.
Well, it's certainly very possible. The problem is the timing is so difficult because the, 35 or 40... as a approval rating really isn't bad. It's not good, but it's not bad. And I don't know that they would create a false flag operation based upon that. The most of the money that's in that package is going to be coming out next year. So next year could be a holding hiatus point and maybe a little bit better than this year. And the reason for that, the reason I packed it that way, is because there's a congressional election next year, and all these people who are Democrats want to get reelected. So, this is why people think things are going to happen quickly. And there's so many things you have to factor into this thing. And these people have the ability, through Congress, to do stimulus packages. In fact, I think they'll have another one next January. Probably for $2 trillion.
Well, Obama's already saying another banker bailout, which will be the one that sets up the new global New Deal, the new global bank. Oh, it's going to help you globally with U.S. taxpayer money. Bob, a few weeks ago you said you were revising your forecast a bit from complete depression within 2.5 years to a year and a half. Are you like revising back to a more long-term till we're in a Mad Max scenario, or... What are you getting at?
Well, we have depression already started, and we're having a slight hiatus in inflation in the United States. We're running around 9%. M3 is running around 11.5 to 12%, down from where it was before. But as the TARP funds and other funds from stimulus hit the market, and the responsibility of Treasury to raise $2 trillion, which they'll have to monetize, that's going to begin hitting probably in April, maybe May, maybe March, and that's going to very quickly push inflation up. And that will extend. Inflation extends the end line for deflation. And so that's why you can't easily predict what's going on. But we're going to have an inflationary depression for a time, 2 years, maybe three, maybe a year and a half. I don't know yet.
But all right, let's stop right there. Let's talk about the credit card bubble, the college bubble, people that have paid for these $100,000 college educations. They're getting out every year. They can't find jobs. They're accelerating offshoring of U.S. jobs, accelerating bringing in the skilled visas to replace jobs. Everybody I know in Austin that worked at IBM, degreed engineers, and I know four people, have all lost their jobs completely. They had to train their end-to-end replacements who were working for a third of it, and now they're gone. They're on the streets. You have all these state pension funds on the verge of bankruptcy or going into bankruptcy. You have all these unfunded mandates where they give you 20-30% of the money in the federal bailout, and then the state's going to come up with 70% more. A restaurant I hadn't been to in about a year that I, every time I went to it in the past, was jam-packed and full on a Thursday night. There were one other group of people in there eating dinner. Restaurants, that have always been, really busy are, and Austin supposedly a good economy. I mean, this is already bad, what we're under. I mean, how bad are you saying it's going to get?
Over 30% unemployment. Incidentally, IBM just is in the process of building a major complex south of Guadalajara in Mexico. And they intend to move everything out of the United States. And that's why the only answer to this problem of free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing, very simply, is tariffs. And if America does not have tariffs, we'll end up with 40 or 50% unemployment.
And for those that don't know,
there's no way we can compete.
And for those that don't know, China has a built-in tariff with their low currency and no environmental standards and slave wages. That is basically, in its overall economic effect, a huge tariff. So when we hear free trade, this is not free or fair trade, is it, Bob?
It certainly isn't. And it is just absolutely propaganda that's been misrepresented. And I'm sadly the only newsletter writer I know of who's talking outside the box, who pushes us so hard. The rest of them just don't get it.
Now, you got to watch them, though, Bob. They'll pass a tariff the day they finally tank the stock market down to nothing and say the tariff did it. You know the tricks they play.
Yep, that's what they did in the early 30s. And the depression was caused in that period of time by the Fed withdrawing money from the system. And then when they turned around and put it back into the system, it wouldn't do any good. And that's exactly what's happening today. And, well, you know, they know that that's the way it works. So you know it was deliberate, just like it is now.
Well, Bob,
and that's why you're hearing what you just mentioned, Alex, about, well, we need a world government, we need a world currency, we need a world this, that, and the other thing. That's the justification for that.
Yeah, it's perfect plan. They globally create the crisis and say we need a global solution to a global crisis, and then the very people that engineered this by design, they will then be our saviors. I mean, it seems to me all we've got to do is tell the truth and get the story out of how this is a pack of criminals, larcenous criminals that destroyed our economy by design to build their new world order, and that we should take the states back, take the federal government back, and arrest all these criminals. I mean, we can do that if we just start believing we can and get the word out about it.
Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, that's why I'm on here, and that's why I'm on 20 programs a week, and I keep it up just like you do. And believe me, Alex, we are making inroads. I'm getting letters all the time, not only from Americans who are subscribers, but people all over the world.
Well, you got powerful info, Bob. You're on target, and that's what matters. That's why it's great to have you here. We're going to come back, get into your phone calls, your questions for Bob Chapman or myself or your statements when we come back. 1-800-259-9231. Stay with us. Okay, let's go back to Bob Chapman. Let's talk to Steve in New York. Steve, you're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Hi, I'm Steve. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Long-time listener. What I'm calling for today is, actually, I want to introduce myself. I work at a well-known company that I know you guys are very familiar with, and I've witnessed for myself, you know, I think it's about the trade deals, not free trade, but trade deals that are made different parts of the world, and that has a big effect on someone like me, who's a guy just trying to make a living. I have a story to tell, and I'm calling the show because I want to, gain some trust and tell my story.
Well, it's about control. It's about control. And that's what globalism and trade is. It's about wiping out trade in areas they want to consolidate, building up trade in areas they control, playing nations off against each other to bring in this world empire. They use finance and military to control, not just military. But we got a lot of callers, Steve, and we've opened the phones up for calls for Bob Chapman on the economy. But just give us a summation of your story.
Well, I really can't get into it on air. It's gonna get bigger. And But what I can say is that what they're doing to people, native-born people here, to get rid of them, is just as underhanded as can be.
Yeah, I mean, and the globalists are completely ruthless. The public needs to figure that out.
And it is ruthless, and it's really a violation of rights and liberty. And I work in a company town, and it's all control. And I would like to get more details off air and get into it a little more. But I do have to proceed with caution at this point.
On air is not the place to do it, Steve. We appreciate your call. You can send us an email or send Bob something. We're just so busy. We know about the corruption. It's not a news flash to us. We know they bring in foreigners, order you to train them, and then fire you, and then use the immigrants to do your job. And people say, well, who will buy the products once there's no economy here? The globalists then will shut that down. They use trade as a weapon to consolidate power. They don't want a free market. They don't want you independent. Bob, can you explain this to people?
Well, I do, and you very succinctly just did so. And it's the ripping of the heart of the American economy out, and it just wrenching it from the body of our country so that people can't get jobs. And they don't care whether anybody buys anything, because the end result is what they're looking for. In the process, they're making lots of money, and especially for the transnational corporations who have subsidiaries that do this business outside the country in places like Cayman Islands and the Bahamas and so on. And they're hiding their money offshore. And as you know, 4 years ago, our Congress allowed them to bring back $350 billion at 5.25% taxation instead of 33%. And now they want to do it again for $550 billion.
Yeah, let's explain to folks, because I've analyzed these cases, but you're really an expert on this. I want to get your response. When we hear about them doing CBS News pieces about the Cayman Islands and how 200 and something billion of the bailout money went to the Caymans alone, they're just getting everybody mad so they can shut down small tax shelters, because that became retail and the public started using the loopholes the banks had written for themselves. Just like most of the White House doesn't pay taxes, most of the Congress doesn't pay taxes, more and more of it comes out. They have one set of rules, and then we have another set of rules that we live under. And if you look at it, most multinational corporations pay less than 1% tax.
That's right. And that's part of the way that they do that. And, of course, that embellishes the want of these international corporations to do such things, because in the process they get richer and more powerful. And, of course, at the same time, they destroy the infrastructure of not only the United States, but Mexico, Canada, and Europe.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, it's very simple.
All those demonstrations over there are about money and income and jobs, and they're getting worse and worse. I had pitches that people sent me this week of a major protest in Grenoble. And in this protest, they were wearing Jacobin outfits. And for those of you who don't know, the Jacobins were the people during the revolution in France that went around and collected people so they could bring them to the guillotines to cut their heads off. And so there's some serious stuff going on all over the world.
Bob, I want to talk about the nature of the New World Order, who they truly are, and then take more calls from Jake in Brazil, Kirk, Vanessa, Brent, and others. Straight ahead. Stay with us. We are only 17 days out from my new film to drop in the InfoWar, and it is a mighty weapon. It's a weapon that is self-replicating if you will make copies of it and spread it. Every one of these in the InfoWar is like a rocket launcher. You pop up at mines that have been seized by the enemy and you fire a red pill. Literally hits them. Blast through their programming. Because it's got the truth in it, and it goes around the left-right propaganda paradigm that gets into the real information. You need to picture these films as grenades that you just throw into the zombie chambers. Boom! And many of them will wake up. Just keep throwing grenades. Keep firing. Keep And at the same time, you're not just unlocking mines. Picture the enemy's InfoWar tanks coming over, blasting, firing at the population. And you're just up there with those rockets, blasting them, blowing them to bits, hit them in the treads. Immobilize them, and then just keep getting more of the film out. Go in, throw a hand grenade down in the hatch, boom! Literally, ladies and gentlemen, we are savaging them. They have congressional hearings saying they want to shut us down through the Violent Radicalization Act. They list 9/11 truth groups. They attack me in national publications. But they know if they kill me, it'll be like a hydrogen bomb going off, and we'll just get the info going that much faster because the Tree of Liberty is watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And I mention that because it's such a big point of, you know, discussion. Why is Alex Jones still alive when they've killed so many? We got a lady coming up in about 25 minutes who put out an international film about the diamond trade being a monopoly. We're going to go to Brazil in a moment, but I want Bob to comment on that. And they came on her yacht. You know, she's a British lady. Been a member of the aristocracy over there. And they said, you shouldn't have made that film. And they broke her jaw and broke her nose and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, this is real. But she didn't back off. She still released the film. And she's alive today. That happened, I don't know, 15 years ago or more. But the globalists are pirates. Think about New York City that was founded by Dutch but became the major pirate port. They would come from all the way from Asia, pirates that roved out there and around Africa and Latin America and the Horn. And they would bring their goods to safe haven pirate ports. Well, what is Luxembourg? What is the Cayman Islands? What is the Bahamas? What is Portugal? What is Switzerland? Those are pirate ports. And if you study Skull and Bones and other globalist groups, they made their money out of the opium trade in the British East India and the Dutch East India Company. And they founded it with that. And they set up CIA exclusively in 47 out of the OSS, out of Skull and Bones, just a British chapter here in the United States. This is all history. This is mainline history, just not taught in schools. And that's why they say little hymns and little prayers at Skull and Bones. And when I was also at Bohemian Grove, they had all these big banners and plaques to different famous pirates because they see themselves as pirates. And they are setting up a global order where they're outside the nations. They don't fit to follow any laws. They're exempt. And they just destroy nations and come in and loot them and then bring the wealth offshore and finance destroying the next nation. You know, that's why big banks will just give billions of dollars of free weapon systems to a Latin American country, to a rebel group, to an African group, to then wreck that country so that country has to fight them and the banks will fund the terrorists, the rebels, and the government. I was watching, I haven't seen it yet, a clip from the film The International, and the guy's explaining, they're going, why do you think big banks fund rebels or fund terror groups or fund other governments to have a war when they're not even making money on it? Because they make money on the destruction. These are pirates. And Bob Chapman, I wanted to get your response to that, sir.
I've never heard it more eloquently put. But you're certainly right about the drug trade. And most of the major families in New England and along the eastern seaboard were involved with the British, and that's the, you know, Cabots and the Lodges and the Forbes and all of them. And they were privatizing or carrying heroin, opium, from India over to China. And they made vast fortunes. This was in the early 1800s.
The Roosevelts.
Yes, they were all involved, all the big names. And that's how they, in modern times, they funded what they were doing. But they did the same thing in the Middle East as well. And you're right about them financing both sides of almost every conflict, because when it's over, they step in and they finance the redevelopment and get even richer and more powerful. And this is the game that they play over and over and over again. Yet today, we have radio programs such as yours and the internet to tell the people what they're not being told in school or in the mainline media, that this is what these people do for a living. And, you know, if it kills 20 or 50 million people, they don't care. I mean, they are pirates. Just it's quite an example you just gave. It's really excellent.
Well, that's what they say about themselves. That, I mean, they brag that they're swashbuckling pirates, and it's a big joke on all of us. I want to go to calls, Bob. I just briefly, because this guest is coming up later. It's public knowledge. It's a public secret, but most people don't know it. You know, a average guy will be getting married when he's 25. He's making $30,000 a year. He'll buy a $10,000 diamond for his betrothed, and she's got to have it. And they don't know that diamonds are semi-precious, literally, or crap. They're just geographically only in certain areas, so they can artificially control that. And how in the last 150 years they sold this as the gem that everybody has to have is the diamond. And it's another example of a total scam, a total cartel.
Absolutely. There's enough diamonds in the world to bury it. I mean, they intrinsically, they have little or no value. And that value has been created by De Beers and others, but particularly De Beers, which is controlled indirectly by the royal family. And they're the ones who financed all of the projects in South Africa, and they're the ones that used Madison Ave tactics, especially during the after the turn of the 21st century, in the early 1900s, diamonds became a thing to have or to do. And when Rhodes died, everything he had was turned over to a trust which is controlled by the royal family. So, you know, he did what he did when he did it, and all of that wealth returned to the masters.
And he wrote that they were going to create a British Empire through international finance that would be behind the throne. And, again, they geographically control the diamonds, where they come from, Australia, Africa mainly, a little bit in South America. And because they geographically control that, even with mercenaries who they brag they'll send in to kill anybody that tries to mine them, then they call them blood diamonds, anybody else that wants to dig them and not pay their cut. I know we've got to ban this through, you know, humanitarian auspices, total fraud. It's the same thing with drugs. They make narcotics illegal so they can geographically control them to make hundreds of times what the drugs are really worth, which then criminalizes everything and lets them take over that way. I mean, you know, so they bring in the drugs, they bring in the diamonds, everything. We're about to go to Jake in Brazil, but he just hung up. Jake, I wanted to hear from you in Brazil. If you can get back in, we'd love to hear from you. But let's go ahead and talk to Kirk in Colorado. Kirk, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good day to both of you, man. Alex, I've agreed with you over the years on at least 95% of what you've said and taught. And I was curious, though, why you and your fill-in Romero in the past month or two have been down on Israel and are blaming Israel for breaking the peace treaty. And I'd like to know your exact thought of Israel and the Jews.
Kirk, look, we're here talking about economic issues. You know, I try not to get into this endless ongoing debate. And I get attacked by those that say I'm too easy on Israel. I get attacked by those that say I'm too hard on Israel. You know, Hillary Clinton, who's always flip-flopping, you know, she's been criticizing Israel, so now she's being, you know, being broiled in the media. Israel is being used as a military outpost. Benjamin Netanyahu wants to attack Iran. That is going to cause World War III. Every military expert we've talked to and geopolitical expert has said. You know, I love this. This is the dumbed-downness of the American people. That if I am against what happened in Israel, where they shut down the border crossings and started doing targeted killings, which did break the peace treaty, and then Hamas is shooting these Tinker Toy rockets over, and then Israel goes in and levels, and then now we've got to pay, they're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to go in there and rebuild it. All that does is then embroil the entire Middle East, and public opinion turns against the United States and Israel. I'm saying I'm against what happened there. And then that doesn't become, I hate Jews, okay? It's totally separate. It's completely separate. And that's all I have to say on that issue. I want to move on here. Let's talk to Vanessa in New York. Vanessa, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Bob. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I appreciate you taking my call. I have a question, actually. I don't know if you want to say it's based on the economic problem, so I hate to get off subject.
Hey, it's fine. Nobody calls in about subjects on this show. Go ahead.
I heard this morning on another radio show that they're putting through Bill H.R. 1105, talking about the RFID and the NAIS chip. And I want to know what I can do, or I can go to protest this, just a lead or something like that.
Okay, well, let me tell you. I mean, through this is economic, because the big agribusiness wants to shut down family farms and ranches. They've written the federal regulations that aren't law, but through fiat are enforced as law at the state level, to where small farms and ranches have to put a $15, $20 tag on a $5 chicken, bankrupts them. Or where you have to have your premises registered and then you waive your rights in that contract. Now, only a few states pass it as law, like Texas, but then that got defeated in the courts, but they still go ahead with it. Bob, do you want to comment on the National Animal ID and the premises ID?
It's really out of my category. I know what you know, generally speaking, and that's it.
Yeah, so, ma'am, I mean, people are fighting the animal ID, premises ID everywhere, and I would just Google NIS or, you know, animal ID, premises ID in your state if you want to fight it. Or there's national groups fighting it. We've had a lot of those groups here on the show.
I appreciate it. And also, I have a comment on CNBC's reaction to Ron Paul. They said that they were going to come back when they were playing something more substandard, and I just thought that was great that they admitted that.
In fact, I have the transcript here. They said, we're going to come back. I actually have the text here. I appreciate your call, ma'am. Let me go ahead and read it. Haynes says, this is not going as planned. No, it is not. This is when they cut away from Ron Paul. We were told that there was a very limited number of opening statements, and it seems to be getting out of control. Burn it. Here's what we forgot. Everybody is taking this live. You know what that means. Why would they miss an opportunity for free airtime? Haynes, we're going to take a commercial break and get them out of the way so that when something really substandard, he means substantial, is happening, we don't have to interrupt them. So the image here is, how dare these elected congressmen, who are supposedly over the Federal Reserve, which they're not, bring up the fact the Federal Reserve is destroying America. How dare them? We'll cut back once Bernanke's up there. Because normally they don't show the congressman asking serious questions. They only show the private bankers. Bob Chapman comments.
We're carrying that piece from InfoWars in tomorrow's issue. And so you'll be able to see it there as well as on Alex's site.
Absolutely.
And I saw the live version, and that's exactly the way it happened. And I was surprised because they've admitted that they're managing the news.
Well, it's just all right out in the open. Let's go ahead and talk to Brent in Texas. Brent, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for all the information you put out. It's really incredible. I don't know how you can put out so much material consistently, but I'm thankful that you do. Question was for Bob, and I emailed you about this, so I'm glad I got through. I'm very surprised. Thanks for taking calls just for Bob today.
You bet. You're on the air, sir.
Yeah. So, Bob, the question was, I know you're familiar with Prechter's Elliott Wave analysis because you've commented on it on occasion in the newsletter. But, you know, lately, I think it was in the last week or so, he came out and basically said, in this grand, what he calls a grand supercycle bear market, that he'd be surprised if futures even existed after it's over. Now, he didn't give any kind of timeline because that's impossible, but, you know, clearly it'd be devastating for the markets if, you know, a major futures exchange went under. But what do you think about the likelihood of that, the prospect of that, and if it was?
Yeah, let me add about a COMEX, gold futures defaulting. Can you comment on both those?
First of all, I'll answer Alex. Possible and probable. And to answer the original question, and that is, you know, we can have physical markets. We don't need futures. And maybe we should revamp the whole futures system so that it can't be rigged by government. And just like we should privatize the SEC and the CFTC so that they don't cooperate with the criminals in Washington and in Wall Street. I mean, the Madoff affair, and now we get the Stanford thing. SEC knew about Madoff 7 or 8 or 9 years ago, refused to do anything, and they knew it was a scam, and there's hundreds of people involved. And with Stanford, they were told to stand down by another government agency. I mean, what is this? So, referring back to the futures markets, there's no control. The only control is the United States government doing what they want to do to those markets by manipulating and rigging them. And it's got to stop. And if it doesn't stop, people ain't going to play the game anymore. And the whole market will be physical. And that's why you're having the run that you're having for the last 10 months on physical gold and silver coins and bullion by individuals all over the world, but particularly in Europe. And now it's starting in the United States. And so we can do without futures exchanges.
All right.
If they're rigged. I mean, who wants a rigged market?
Absolutely. Well, that's what the pirates want. And then they sucker the people back into the market so they can screw them. Ben in Oregon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I had two comments for you guys. One, I heard just on Rush's show right before I turned on your show, he actually admitted that they're saying that there's going to be a one-world government and a one-world currency.
But was he saying that if you're against it, you're bad? Because before he did, he said it didn't exist.
No, he just said it on there. He said, I think he was referring to another piece that a news organization was putting out.
It's in hundreds of mainstream.
But he was just basically admitting it and saying that, you know, the liberals are going to be behind all of it, which he normally does.
So stay there. I want to hear more about this when we get back. That's a big deal. But, I mean, Russia spent 16, 17, 18 years telling people none of this existed when the guy's smart and knows all about it. And I've been wondering the last few months, how is he going to say it doesn't exist when the Wall Street Journal, Fox News, CNN, the Times of London, the New York Times are all saying world government's real, the banks are going to rule you, but that it's good. It's good. You see, the globalists and the known Trilateral Commission and CFR publications that were public, just not widely distributed, and everybody in the controlled media knew they didn't talk about it, but they lose their job. But they had to build world government, destroy the industry of Western Europe and the United States and Japan, get everybody in debt in the debt-based economy, tell everybody to get in debt, then blow it all out, have a fire sale, and then say, we'll save you with a world government and carbon taxes you pay to us. And, you know, Limbaugh can't come on the air and say it's a liberal conspiracy and the Republicans will save you because, you know, it's neocon publications pushing this world government as well. But Bush played the bad cop. Now Obama's the good cop, the facelift of the New World Order. And now because they're openly setting it up and you're going to be paying your taxes to them and satellite tracker boxes in your cars and neighborhood tattletale squads and everything else, they have to emerge out into the open. And that's what the Obama deception covers. The film is about Obama, but it isn't. It just shows how he's a front man and puppet, and you learn the whole globalist agenda, what they're doing, what they're setting up. It's such an important film, folks. It's not going to be about, was he really born in Africa, which will just bounce off his armor. This is the black arrow to this political dragon. And I want to hold you 5 minutes over, Bob Chapman, then we'll get our guest on from England, if you can do it, unless you have something else that's coming up. But, I mean, your comments on this, because I've actually had other people tell me in days past he's been admitting it, and I know a lot of mainline conservatives are admitting it is true, but your take on them having to admit all this now.
Well, I think that it's part of their process of exposure. They're getting ready to pull the plug on the entire world economy. They haven't even done that yet. I mean, what you're seeing going on here, all these problems,
prelude,
is really child's play. It hasn't got bad yet.
Yeah, they're setting the table.
Exactly. And we're looking out 2, maybe 3 years still until they're ready, and then all of a sudden the deflation will begin, and then all of a sudden everything will just go haywire. And they're coming out in anticipation of this. This is part of the propaganda and brainwashing to make people start to begin to think in terms that they are going to be saved by a one-world entity of some kind.
Yeah, I have another article.
That they're doing, and you pointed this out last week, Alex, was the propaganda by Soros and, and one of those fellows on Fox, he came out and said the Bubbas are going to
Glenn Beck
attack, and so you better be ready for it. They're preparing people to try to go and do that so they can implement martial law. You remember last week that was the bottom line? Well, it's the same thing. This is a big propaganda war that's going on, and they're heating the people up.
That's right. They want us to go ape. They want us to start blasting. That is not what we want. We want to politically point out they're the criminals, take control of the states, and educate the public that it's the globalists that did this, and that letting them set up this World Bank will only hurt us worse. Any other comments, Ben, in Oregon?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask Bob Chapman about, it's my wife's 401k, and I try rolling it over into a IRA money market account, and her company says that we can't do anything with her 401k until she either quits or gets fired or something like that. Is there anything else I could do?
I believe that's just a lie. With most 401ks, she can demand it be liquidated, but some places have a clause. A lot of companies have really already leveraged that money and spent it. Bob?
They can do what they want to do. And if she tries to move it or if she wants to liquidate it, she's out the door. And it's as simple as that. And they can do that. And I run to a lot of them like that. And some of them you can borrow 90%. Some of them you can borrow 10%. It varies from company to company. And, the same thing they're trying to pull also with people who are liquidating life and annuity policies because they don't think that the insurance companies will pay up.
All right, Bob, stay there. I want to do 5 more minutes with you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Already into hour number 3, have a very informative guest coming up about how these global monopolies and scams work, dealing with diamonds. We'll have your phone calls then as well. I do, again, hope listeners will go to the ObamaDeception.net and pre-order the film. It's going to be shipping out now in only 17 days, or technically 16 days. So it'll be shipping on the 15th. Get your orders in now so you get the Obama deception first. It breaks down the history of the global banking system, how Obama is their front man, his history, how he's a globalist, his policies, his lies, how he's betraying people, how both parties are controlled. This is powerful. Very well done. The film is done now. We're just doing some music sweetening and working on the credits and some extras right now, and it'll be sent off to be mass manufactured on Monday. And so I hope you will get your orders in for the Obama deception at Infowars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Also, the Obama deception will be in super high quality on March 15th. That's Sunday evening. It's going to go up on that 15th, Sunday release on the Ides of March. We didn't intend to release it on that. People pointed out it was the Ides of March later, but I think that's poignant. We're trying to kill the lie of the New World Order in a peaceful info way. And, you know, expose the big fraud, expose the hoax, kill the hoax, and by that, lift the veil of the left-right paradigm from people's eyes. So, again, the Obama deception, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget Bob Chapman. You can get a free trial introductory, goes out a couple times a week, e-format of the International Forecaster at theinternationalforecaster.com. Be sure and check that out. Bob, in closing here, in the time we have left with you, the pension funds, they're already reading the pension funds, but the stock market, what, the average pension funds are down by about 65%. Is that the correct number? Because I see higher numbers, lower numbers bandied about. And how long until the people realize that this was done by design?
Well, I think they won't want to admit it. And the design has been there for a long time, but they're not hip to what's going on, and they have to listen to programs like this in order to find out, and they will in time, but most of them just don't know. I just wrote this morning. State governments ran up pension fund losses of $865.1 billion in 2008, the assets of 109 pension funds fell 37% to $1.46 trillion in the 14-month period ending this past December. CalPERS, the biggest fund, with $260 billion in assets at its height in October 2007, is down over that period of time 40%. So I think a fair figure is, on average, is 40%, except for pension funds that kept all their money in bonds. And also insurance companies, which are mutual companies who kept their money in bonds, they are safer.
Where do we get this number of people's savings or 401ks or retirements that are based on stock being down over 60%? Is that folks that were invested in the wrong sectors? Or
that could be. But overall, you have to take the more conservative viewpoint. So in the last 20 months, since the market started down from 14,160 or whatever the number was up there, and we get out of everybody out at 14, incidentally, who was listening, that drop in those professional managed portfolios is down about 45% on average.
All right.
And so it's not very good. And if the Dow goes where I think it will go, to around 4,000, 38 to 4,200, then I think they're going to take another 35% hit. And so they're going to be off about 80%. And that means a lot of them won't pay the way they could otherwise. And who? What do we know is going to be going on at that time?
Amazing, absolutely amazing. And these companies can't fund themselves now that their stock value's down. It's just a domino effect. Bob Chapman, we'll see you next Friday. Godspeed. Thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
There he goes. All right, we'll be right back with our next guest. Very informative information. Be sure and check out our websites, prisonplanet.com.
Alex Jones here with a...
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, joining us from the United Kingdom is Janine Roberts. We had her on, I think, 8 years ago. I remember back in college, or was it high school, seeing on PBS part of the film that she made, The Diamond Empire. I've since seen the whole thing, and it was everything that I'd already learned and read in history, and also learned from my dad, who had gone to college with some French guys who were South African, who had tried to break the diamond monopoly in their own little way, the De Boer brothers. And they're the guys that actually bought up some diamond mines in Arkansas, and the federal government claimed environmental reasons and bought them out for billions of dollars. So that happened later. But so I've kind of, from my position, seen a little bit of the inside of this going on growing up in Dallas, because my dad was still is friends with the De Boer brothers. But separate from De Beers, that's the big monopoly. But it's just amazing. And then I've seen articles in things like New Yorker Magazine where De Beers brags they hire mercenaries and attack helicopters to go in, and we hear this propaganda about stopping blood diamonds. Oh, anybody else that mines them that isn't certified is hurting children. No, that's propaganda. It is the diamond monopoly that causes all the violence. These things are only semi-precious. Now, that's the basics. We're carrying her new book, Glitter and Greed, by Janine Roberts. We have it in the shopping cart at InfoWars.com. For those that want to explain to their wife or their girlfriend or their fiance, who wants some $20,000 diamond ring, she's just got to have it, that they are semi-precious. And if she wants a fine stone, get something else like a ruby or an emerald that actually has true value. People have kind of found this out now, so they're buying colored diamonds because those actually are rare in some cases. Don't be chumps. Don't be ripped off. She was physically attacked over making the film and threatened not to release it, but she still did. Just an incredible lady. So Janine Roberts, joining us from England. Thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure. It's a great privilege.
Okay, you've got the floor. Just boil it down, your story, your saga, the film, the book, everything you went through, what you discovered, how you got in when they wouldn't let anybody else get in and show warehouses of just diamonds being massed to create artificial scarcity.
I've run my hands through buckets of diamonds, literally, thousands of diamonds. They're not, the thing about diamonds is, unlike some other stones like sapphires and emeralds, they're not really that rare. You can even manufacture them, you can even cheat. But, You know, a long time ago, they were rare. It was when they came out of India, and Indian mines were running down, and the rich folk in Europe, they bought up these diamonds, they invested in them. But then people went out to South Africa, and later on to Australia, and they found them by the, not the bucket full, but by the bath full. In South Africa, I've been told by a foreman that ran parts of a De Beers mine, that occasionally they break through into pockets of diamonds underground, and they literally shuffled up the diamonds. They could take most of the workers out to the area, and they put the diamonds into buckets, and they bring them to the surface. But yeah, but I've been back since you went out there. You know, since I last talked to you, I've been back out in South Africa, and I've got, you know, I found things I only heard rumours about, and it's really bad inside some of the mines. What I discovered was that, this is new, what I discovered was that inside some of the biggest mines in South Africa, De Beers gets exemption from normal practices, normal health and safety practices. It says the dust inside its mines is harmless. Like normally when someone goes down in the mine to mine copper or nickel, they have to have a hose pipe and spray the rock face in front of them with water to catch all the dust, all the dangerous dust, the silica especially, because that gives silicosis, it cuts, cuts your lungs to ribbons. Well, De Beers says, oh no, it doesn't happen in our mines. They get the exemption, they don't have to use any water. Mine dust, they tell the government in South Africa, is harmless. Well, one day I was in a De Beers mine, and shop steward turned to me and said, do you know, Jan, we sometimes are mining the diamonds directly out of asbestos. And we're only given a cloth to cover our mouths, and we've got to keep that same cloth for a year.
Now, for those that don't know,
and a bit of cloth over the mouth.
For those that don't know, asbestos is a mineral, and it has little tiny hooks and destroys the lungs, and diamonds routinely are mined out of asbestos beds. Because
it happens that asbestos rock, chrysolite, is sometimes found in the same place that they find diamonds. Exactly, yes. The same place. And what it is fine needles. It's needles that you breathe in, and they cut into your lungs, and they give you a horrifying death eventually. You start,
and they have these poor Africans down in these deep, deep mines just breathing in all of this, and they, as you said, could coat things with water, and this wouldn't happen, but they just don't care because they're so ruthless.
They get exemption from it. One mine worker, and I knocked on the doors of mine workers around the township and knocked on the doors, and I found one in three had damaged lungs. Many of them had lost part of a lung or a whole lung. And one mine worker said to me, "Jen, I've worked in copper mines, other mines, and there's always water. But in diamond mines, I reckon the only thing I can think of, I might be wrong, but they want it dusty. They want it full of dust so we can't see the diamonds." He couldn't think of any other reason for this to happen. And one professor, Professor Emeritus of Public Health, told me he tested 200 workers coming out of the Premier Diamond Mine, and every single one of them had asbestosis. You know, terrible lung disease.
Well, I want to get into this, but I want to start at the beginning. I mean, explain to people how the diamond trade works, how you made this international film that was just really opened up the big secret that diamonds are semi-precious and it's a artificial scarcity scam set up by the royal family and Cecil Rhodes and now De Beers. I mean, break that down, and then the story of how they told you to shut up.
I'm involved in this because I worked with tribal people, Aborigines in Australia, and I went down. And then they found the world's biggest diamond deposit on a place where women used to go to pray. But the history of it, how it started, I mean, that's what first got me into diamonds, and I started uncovering this rabbit warren of, you know, real deceit. When they found these, when diamonds are really rare, when they found diamonds literally sparkling in the moonlight in Africa, they hired black workers to crawl along on top of the sand with tin cans around their neck and a gag on their mouth so they couldn't swallow any diamonds and kind of get away with them. And they pick up these diamonds and they clink them into the tins, literally sparkling in the moonlight. And then they got Rhodes, Esther Rhodes and the other, and the Oppenheimers, the Rothschilds, they're finding so many diamonds that the price of diamonds was sure to crash. So Cecil Rhodes, the enterprising man, he said to the merchants in Europe, look, you fund me to buy up all the diamond leases in Africa. You're rich, you can do it, you can fund me. And I promise I won't sell the diamonds to anyone else but you. You just set up your own cartel, I'll sell to you. So that's what he did. He bought control of the major diamond finds in southern Africa, set up the company De Beers, and with a contract to sell all the diamonds produced to the merchants in Europe, who could put them away in their safes and their vaults and pretend they're rare. Later on, one of the workers from one of the London plants, London cutting shops, went out there. He was Ernest Oppenheimer. And he, as he went out there, Cecil Rhodes just died. And Oppenheimer had control, he managed to get control both in Europe over the merchants and the mines in southern Africa. And that gave De Beers all the strength it's had ever since. Other mines have been sabotaged. In his diaries, he says how he buys up farms in order to stop production. I found game parks put up on top of diamond fields in order that the diamonds can't get mined. I've been taken there. I've been told where they are by De Beers geologists. And I've been
they use phony environmentalism in the case of Arkansas, huge diamond deposits. They said, no, it doesn't matter if you bought that land, the Bull Brothers. Bill Clinton said it's for the earth.
Well, it's been turned into... I went down there, Murfreesboro, south of Little Rock. And it's... You know, I paid what? I think it was something like $7, $7. And you, for that, you get a license to dig for a day. And people go down, they dig for a day. They're not allowed to go down deeper than 6 foot. And they got to fill a hole up at the end of the evening.
And that's just one little area. I've been there and dug, too.
You know, I know.
Yeah, it's just...
But all the geology is the same as the pits in South Africa. There'd be 1,000 feet deep, that hole, full of diamonds. And your question is, why was it never mined properly? Never mined industrially. And I talked to people that used to own that place, and they told me how it got sabotaged, and how one night, two or three of their plants, widely separated, all burst into flame simultaneously to help sabotage that mine. And now it's been turned into a national park. It's never been mined commercially. And yet the geology, when I went to when I went to Washington, D.C., and geology department and got the plans out, you know, the geologist said, this is a good mine. All the reports are as good as anything in South Africa. It's never been mined commercially because the one place in the world where De Beers could not control that deposit was in the United States of America because you've got anti-cartel mines. You got laws that stop you setting up a cartel.
So Bill Clinton made it a national park.
It was a national park before Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but he grabbed the separate area that the Bulls owned. I mean, you're the expert on this. Right, I just know the backstory here locally, yeah.
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 You see, there's now Canada's mining diamonds, and some other countries are mining them. But they don't want to spoil the racket. They don't sell the diamonds any cheaper because it helps all their pockets.
Stay there. We're going to come back after this quick break. Glitter and Greed with Janine Roberts. The new book. All the latest info. People ask how I woke up to the New World Order. One way was learning when I was like 14 that diamonds were semi-precious, that a militarized crime syndicate controlled it. They'd send in mercenaries to engage in assassinations, attacks on countries if they were mining their own diamonds. And now that's mainstream news. You know, and I grew up watching women do anything for diamonds, just worshiping them. And it's just crud. And it's another scam by the globalist and Cecil Rhodes, who said he was going to set up a world government. It's the same people, the same story. Janine Roberts, an amazing lady, Glitter and Greed. Janine, you've broken down how the scam works. I'm going to get into the latest stuff, you know, since your film in the book Glitter and Greed, and also tell folks how to get your film now on DVD that you sell. We'll give out your website or tell folks where they can get it. I specifically, though, tell folks what happened when your film was coming out and it was going to air on British, U.S., and European TV, as it did. I mean, just to get, you know, it's not just you talking to people that have been firebombed or attacked or killed or whatever, or them using nature preserves to shut down mines or not let them be exploited.
Yeah, I interview a terrorist working for De Beers as well in that film.
Stop right there. Terrorist working...
television now.
Stop. Terrorist working for De Beers. Explain how that works.
Well, he was employed to ambush Africans who wanted to... See, if an African can carry a diamond into Europe, he's allowed to do so. It's quite legal. If he mines it himself, gets it to Europe and get international prices from it. If you walk into Antwerp in Belgium, you see signs in the window saying rough diamonds, that's uncut diamonds, bought here. But De Beers is getting all those tainted as if they're not free trade, but they're not individual enterprise, but kind of calling them all blood diamonds, even if a terrorist is involved or not. And what De Beers did, what it seems they did, I mean, it's their sister company, Anglo-American, that allegedly did this. This guy we interviewed him in Latin America, because he's in hiding. He reported that he had been paid to ambush Africans, ambush them, keep them in prison, and he admitted to torturing them if they were taking diamonds out that weren't in the, you know, that should have gone, in government terms, should have gone for the hands of De Beers. He was there to stop the independent merchants, as far as I could see, to terrorize them, stop them taking any diamonds they happened to find.
Now, when you see a film...
South African, mm-hmm. You're not allowed to carry an uncut diamond in your pocket unless you've got a government license. You're not even allowed to carry a bit of the rock in which they find diamonds. That's illegal.
All right, let me stop you right there. Mm-hmm. Total cartel. You see a movie like Blood Diamond, they do reverse propaganda, very complex, really. They admit there's a secret cartel controlling diamonds, but they imply that they're the ones running blood diamonds that the individual Africans can smuggle out, when it's actually the big cartel that wants to stop the Africans and aboriginals of Australia to have their diamonds. And so liberals go and feel all good, and Hollywood does, and, oh, we're fighting for Africa, when in reality they're working for the big cartels that have brought all this hell.
Yeah, it's funny. De Beers used to have lots of puppet schoolboys from England. They used to send them out to Africa with a big budget to buy up these diamonds. They wouldn't go on the international market and undercut De Beers diamonds. But now what they do is they label 9 out of 10 diamonds that they label as blood diamonds and stop them trying to be traded. More than 9 out of 10. It's more like 99 out of 100. And nothing to do with terrorism. They're all to do with keep them out of the hands of independent Africans, so they can't trade for themselves. That's why all the diamonds nearly are taken out of Africa and cut in other countries by De Beers. A lot go to Israel and a lot go to India to get cut. The very best ones come to the United States. But Africans, you know, they need their income. They need to have a trade out there. And we don't need to be giving them aid money. We need to be trading with them. If they're mining their diamonds and they've got the raw material, they should get the maximum amount of money out of it. Because that's a way to get them on their own feet so they can stand up and sort of trade properly.
Absolutely.
They're not allowed to do it. They just, you know, their diamonds get taken out of the country.
Okay. When we come back, we've got a breaking and long segment, Janine. I want to tell a story about what happened to you physically.
Okay.
Right as your film was coming out, how they tried to intimidate you, because that, again, goes directly to the heart of what we're facing. And then the latest info, as your investigations continued, Glitter and Greed, the secret world of the diamond cartel. I want to talk about how long you've been doing this. In fact, briefly, how long have you been investigating this?
About 20 years.
20 years.
I started in 1976.
1976.
30
so
years.
30 years. Goodness gracious, 30 years. Just amazing. Since 1976, more than 30 years. Okay, Janine Roberts, stay there. We'll be right back. Folks, give this book to the women in your life who've got to have diamonds so they'll understand just what a fraud it is. Stay with us. Yeah, Jaron in there, directing the show with Rob. as we simulcast the radio show on TV via PrisonPlanet.tv. The secret world of the diamond cartel, glitter and greed. He was saying, hey, $20, this book pays for itself. You just give this to your wife or girlfriend and she understands she's being suckered. I mean, if they'll read this book, they'll understand it. Or if they go to Janine Roberts' website and buy a copy of the DVD, you should want to watch it in high quality. It's also on the web, but for free all over the place. But you really need to watch it on DVD. I hope you'll get that from Janine Roberts. Janine, what's the best website for folks to go to I mean, we're selling the fine new book you've put out, Glitter and Greed, with all the latest investigations and info, but your film made, you know, more than, I guess, 15 years ago is really still the preeminent work. How do folks get a DVD of that?
I didn't get a DVD from my website, the Diamond website. I've got a number of websites. Or they can email me. They can email very simple, Jan, J-A-N, at Janine Roberts, that's my name, JanineRoberts.com.
But let's go, I mean, there's also a website, though, isn't there?
Yes, there is. It's www.sparkle.plus.com. So it's sparkle.plus.com.
And we've got it up on screen. Okay, let's move quickly because I want to take some calls, too. Specifically, you got some heat for putting this film out. Tell folks what happened right as it was coming out.
By my face was the sexual assault, but... And my cheekbones were broken, my nose was broken, damaged eye. Yeah, I was 2 months in hospital. I was critically ill for 2 weeks.
Well, Janine, I was talking over when you asking the question. Can you start over and specifically tell folks the story, how it happened, what they said to you?
It was De Beers, the head of De Beers was putting pressure on the BBC, who I was helping me make the film. And then one night, a gang broke into my home. There's three of them. They sexually assaulted me, but I fought them off, that part of it. And then they just used me as a punch bag. They broke my face up, broke my cheekbone, broke my nose, broke my eyelids, my good eye, the other eye's lazy. I finished up. Got complications. I was critically ill in the hospital for 2 weeks, and I was 2 months in hospital altogether. And while I was critically ill, they had lawyers come into the hospital to try to grab control over my film. And it was pretty tough at the time.
Now, specifically, going from memory here, didn't the gang, while they were pounding you, tell you to not make the, you know, not release the film?
No, they used personal insults, and they. It was the way, next day the lawyers came and demanded control over the film. It was like there was me all black and blue, and I was ambushed by lawyers who claimed to got some rights, but they didn't. I had no rights. And they wanted control. And I later heard they put pressure on the BBC from at the highest level to try to get me dropped as producer of the film. And when my name still stayed on the film, they threatened the BBC. But my film was never found libelous, no legal actions against it, but there were threats aplenty. I've now got rights back to it, but it took me a real battle. I showed it just the same. I came over, I was invited to Congress, to a congressional hearing in Washington, to talk about diamonds and human rights, and the film was seen by a congressman. And I was invited to the Arctic Wastes of Canada to show it to the mine workers at finding diamonds in Canada too. Yeah, so got my credit back to it, but it was a very tough time.
But your film now has aired in quite a few parts of the world. I know I saw it on PBS.
It has aired, the DVD is the longer version of the film. The one on the internet is a shorter version, but it's a longer version, high quality. That's the one that's on the DVD, so that's not available on the internet at the moment.
Yes, yes. Well, good. People should get the DVD. You went through hell to make this, and it's your type of courage. It's a testament to the human spirit. I mean, now it is widely known that diamonds are semi-precious and a scam, and they've lost...
I started the whole thing. I advised on the United States Clean Diamond Act, but unfortunately, they only went for diamonds produced by rebels. So, like, there was a mine in the Congo where Amnesty International reported that there were bodies floating down the river outside the mine, and that children were in the prison inside a diamond mine. And diamonds from there were being sold as clean to the United States because they weren't produced by rebels. They were produced by a government company in cooperation with De Beers, who partly owned it. So they were clean.
Yeah, so they...
That's what human rights violations are going on.
Yeah, they blame their own actions on anybody else that wants to mine diamonds. I've read that they've lost some of their monopoly. What, they have about 90% of world diamond monopoly now?
They've got less than that. They've got, but it doesn't matter because everyone else, all the other major producers, are tamely following along behind De Beers, profiting from the high prices that De Beers maintains by force. So the other guys are not challenging them. They're not trying to undercut them. They don't dare do it. So, like the Canadians, for a start, they got quite a lot of diamond mines up there now in the Arctic, but not undercutting De Beers.
All right,
because De Beers is still leading the field. It's still in control.
Okay, let's get into the new information you cover in Glitter and Green and a new investigation that isn't even in the book. Cover your latest info. You already told us about the asbestos mineral that the diamonds are mined out of, and they're not allowed to...
I was out in South Africa about a year ago, and I talked to all the doctors, and I found, I got definite proof, and I found a white woman. She was a health and safety officer. She only had to go down the mine twice a week, and she can't pick her children up now from the damage to her lungs. She's just, she's a really fit woman, and she's just, it's really tragic. She's lost part of one of the lungs. She got diseased in her lungs from the asbestos dust. And all she was going down, I think she spent two afternoons every week inside the mine. And I've seen her x-rays, and you can see how within a year, damage was showing up on her x-rays. And so if that happens to me, one of the supervisors, what about the workers that are down there every day for 8 hours or more? It's greed. It's pure greed. They mine these diamonds for less than $5 a carat. That's what they pay. $5 a carat. Then they sell a carat of diamonds for $20,000 in the United States. I've seen 8-year-old children cutting diamonds in India. I've seen these children sleeping on the floor of the workshops. With their kind of toothbrush stuck to the side of the spinning wheel. No safety precautions, nothing to stop the dust, the corrosive dust from the ground diamond going straight into their lungs.
And this is how the psychological warfare works. So women and men can keep buying them. They go, oh, there's bad diamonds and there's good diamonds. And then they blame all their evil activity on the bad diamond people when that's really them. And then women still go out and buy them. I think the answer is don't buy these dirty things.
No, I think, what I'd like to see, if I was really honest, is what I'd like to see major reform. I'd like to see them have certificates and come out of Diamonds Willis International Inspectorate to make sure that the mine's working properly and the cutters have got ethical, decent conditions.
But the bankers will just buy that, will just control the International Inspectorate. I mean, who set up the UN was the Cecil Rhodes Combine.
It needs to be something really independent. It needs to be new.
I agree with you. Well, we need to have, people need to fund, their own investigative foundations. But see, the people don't have the money to go out and do investigations and expose it. And just like with organic food, then it would get that trusted group certification.
I just said, can I mention another book coming out this year?
Oh, yeah. Tell us the latest. You said you're working on new investigations. Yes.
Yeah, it's a book called Fear of the Invisible, and it's into the pharmaceutical industry. The same thing that Dick Cheney heads up partly.
Well, we want to get you back on about...
I've been looking at the drugs that have been sold. I've been looking at childhood vaccines, autism, and all that stuff that gets, children can't go to school unless they've had these injections. And I've got transcripts out of Washington, D.C. that haven't seen the light of day before of a top British and American scientist meeting together, talk behind closed doors, no journalists in the room, about the safety of vaccines. And what they say behind closed doors is nothing like what they say to the public. I've been warned again. I've had a British government scientist say to me, please don't tell parents about this stuff because we don't want to put them off vaccines.
Well, for those that don't know, I don't know about your investigation, but separately, even ABC News in 2004 reported when Congressman Dan Burton went in and had the documents seized, the high-level CDC and FDA meetings where they said, do not give it to your grandchildren, not give it to your children. Millions have been brain damaged from the mercury alone and other things. The cancer viruses, all of it. We cannot let the public know. They will lynch us. And so they continue.
There's no public. In my book, the very first time I show how these things are made, I go right through it really carefully, ask all the questions. Because when what happened here, I was over in the United Kingdom, and my brother phoned me up and told me that his neighbours in the same set, they've got a brain damaged child just after having an MMR vaccination, and they said, you call yourself an investigative journalist, has the government been hiding anything from us? Well, to be honest, at that point I hadn't got a clue. I hadn't been looking into it. I'd been believing what the doctors told me. But I've gone into it as deeply as I can, just like I've done on diamonds, and I've uncovered a can of worms. It's just, I'm staggered. I'm just horrified. I'm happy to say that my daughter hasn't had my grandchild vaccinated and my daughter wasn't vaccinated. But the meeting was chaired by the World Health Organization at the NIH in Washington, D.C. And what they found, the woman had to say, was that chicken leukemia virus was in the MMR vaccine. They said that on record, government record.
Yeah, chicken leukemia virus.
It's in MMR, and they can't get it out.
Well, they don't want it out. It's right. Actually
they've lowered the standards by 100 times, and the manufacturers cannot purify the vaccines. I'd always imagined a vaccine was a sterile fluid with sterile ingredients.
No, it's filled with hundreds of different DNA fragments and cancer viruses.
DNA fragments, RNA fragments. Some of the scientists think prions might be in there too.
And by the way, this is in all their own documents.
This is official documents. I have to do this stuff sound. I found fraud in the documents on HIV from the CDC.
Ma'am, I have the government documents. Yeah, that's from the vaccines. I have the government documents, and this is you can Google this. It's on major websites. Over 200 million Americans.
It's just gone up. It's called fearoftheinvisible.com.
Fearoftheinvisible.com. That's
the same as the book.
Okay. Well, did you know?
I've got two strands to my arm where I've done really major work. It's diamonds and viruses all those diseases.
Well, did you know that?
They're just scaring us. They try to scare you into buying stuff.
Yeah. Did you know that the HV40 monkey virus?
That's what started me. I was flown by a British television channel to attend an emergency workshop in the 1990s at the National Institutes of Health, and it was about simian virus 40, SV40, being in the polio vaccine. So I thought, well, how on earth does a monkey virus get into the polio vaccine? And I find out that it's grown on dead monkeys.
Their kidneys.
They kill monkeys, they take their kidneys and their testicles, because they can get to those two things easy. And they put them in the incubator, mash them up, sprinkle a previous batch of vaccine on top of them, wait 2 or 3 days, and then they have a filter at the bottom, and they filter off the fluid from the monkey cells, and that's what goes into the vaccine. Mm-hmm. The leading British expert at this international meeting at the NIH, this is an official record, he said at one period there were more monkey viruses in the polio vaccine than there were polio viruses.
Mm-hmm. And then 200 million Americans were given that, and they confirm it's caused hundreds of millions of cases of the formerly rare cancers caused by the virus. And
that's
now,
right.
Now it's just there's kids dying everywhere, leukemia, dying everywhere, cancer.
All around the world. Actually, I watched the cover-up because I was one of the two scientific journalists that actually sat through all the testimony. The laboratories from all over the world reporting that. And then they had a press conference at the end for the press that were lazy and didn't attend, listen to the scientists directly. And one of the scientists that hadn't spoken out during the meetings told the press that he'd give it to his children.
Yeah, so you...
And that was totally misleading.
Yeah, you go to the meetings, you go to the meetings, and you hear him admit it's killing everybody, and then they go out of the...
I mean, what we've got now, we put... In the flu vaccine, we put mercury, a neurotoxin. And what do we do to our senior citizens who are getting brain diseases, dementia? We give them mercury every year in the flu vaccine.
Which causes that?
Which causes brain damage.
Yes, well, they admit...
I just can't believe the insanity of this.
Well, it's eugenics, ma'am. And I'm glad you've done this. And by the way, you're an incredible person. You're a activist, a journalist, author, and award-winning filmmaker. Janine Roberts has over 30 years' work focusing on mainly on environmental and human rights issues. She's written five books, the Mampoon books, three volumes on the story of Aboriginal communities, armed mercenaries, and mining corporations, Jack of Cape Grim, the extraordinary story of Aboriginal resistance, how a group held out against three military expeditions, massacres to mining, the colonization of Aboriginal Australia. So you've been in the bush, Africa, in Australia. You have really been on the front lines, and it goes on and on and on. But let me just, in case you don't know, or find out if you do know, we have all the government documents. So you've gone to one level, but or maybe I haven't given you a chance to go to the next. This is all eugenics, ma'am. By design, they're putting soft kill bio agents, which debilitate and are hard to track while you're dying, through the microplasms, through the DNA, artificially engineered viruses is what you can call them. It's really a nanotech. Through the mercury, through the monkey viruses. The monkey virus is the 60-year-old bioweapon. And the Rockefellers who funded Hitler, they're all behind this, IBM. Are you aware of that level of this?
I'm aware of just how many. I mean, I know that Dick Cheney's was a CEO of one of the companies making this. I now know they're wanting our children to have a cervical cancer vaccine, HPV.
That's killing people.
And it's killed 20 so far, on official records. And it's they haven't found a virus. It's only proteins. They haven't actually got the virus in the test tube. They can't grow it. They can't produce it there. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, stay there. Let's take a few calls on the other side with our guest, Glitter and Greed, Janine Roberts. Get it at InfoWars.com.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make.
We are back live. Thank you for joining us. We want to keep Janine Roberts 5 minutes in the next hour. Another 10 minutes we can take your calls from Robert and Alex and a few others specifically that have questions for her. You know, you hear her trying to warn people, I'm trying to warn people. You learn about diamonds, it goes into another thing, into another thing. We keep buying into their scams, their carbon tax scam, their diamond scam, their vaccine scam. And these are scam artists. I mean, that's how John D. Rockefeller's father made his money, was a snake oil salesman. He would go around going, this will cure your ails. This will grow your hair, make you live longer, make you get up early in the morning. And it was really opium and cocaine mixed together. That's mainly what snake oil was. It, I guess, would cure your ails for at least a little while till you ran out of it. This is what they're doing. We're going to be covering vaccines next hour with a guest. So you'll want to stay with us for that. We've got Barbara Lowe Fisher joining us, one of the heads of the major groups exposing vaccines. But let's take a call from Robert in Canada. You're on the air with Janine Roberts. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Alex, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Before I start, Alex, just wanted to say I've been listening now for about a year and change, off and on, but more dedicated in the past half year, and you are a warrior in the fight. You're a strong, a Conan. You're Conan in the fight, man.
Man, all I'm doing is exposing scams. I tell you, Janine Roberts, Conan.
Well, I can only tell you, Alex, it takes a lot of balls to do what you got to do, especially you got kids at home. I mean, like, it...
Our kids are crying out.
You know, especially living down there in Texas, which is the nest of vipers, right?
Well, look, we don't have a future if we don't stand up. We become enslaved because we don't stand up. Janine?
It's right. I mean, I went out to get myself in hot water all the time. I mean, I got my tires spiked a year ago. I was in Israel, West Bank, Palestine, and it was Israelis that spiked my tires, both my front tires. And the thing was, I stopped to talk to a Palestinian farmer, and they decided I must be a bad one. So they spiked my wheels. I mean, it's, you know, you see what other people have to put up with. You know, I'm reporting it, I get there, I get onto the scene, but, you know, the only way to see something, get the truth of it, is you have to go there and actually talk to the people.
Absolutely. Anything else, Robert?
Well, my question actually was, you were speaking earlier about how they closed down this mine in the United States when they discovered these diamonds. How did they ever allow the Canadian mines to open then? Because, you know, I did some research into it. Apparently 60% of it's owned by Rio Tinto in Australia, and the rest is a guy by the name of Harry Winston, is it? Harry Winston Enterprise, which is actually based in the
U.S. All right, well, let her answer that. Go ahead.
With Rio Tinto Zinc, RT said, that was one of my first targets. My book called Massacres to Mining. It's an earlier book of mine. It was all about Rio Tinto Zinc and how they operate with utter ruthlessness towards tribal peoples, American Indians, whoever they are. I was up there. I was asked up to Yellowknife to advise the people up there. My film, the local environmentalists wanted to put my film on in Yellowknife, and De Beers brought in the lawyers and told them they couldn't show the film. It was front page headlines in the local newspaper, and they insisted. They flew me up there to put it on in the biggest cinema in town, and I was kept there speaking afterwards for 2 hours.
All right, stay there. Janine, we got a break. 1 minute break. We'll come back with 5 final minutes with you so you can finish up what you were just saying so we can talk to Alex in Florida. Stay with us. Fourth hour straight ahead. Final 5 minutes with our guest, Janine Roberts. We have Barbara Lowe Fisher joining us. The nonprofit National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC. Big developments there. They've been running a lot of psych warfare ops, having minions of theirs claim that they put out fake evidence that vaccines cause autism. We have the government's own internal documents. This won't work. This cover-up won't work. And interesting that our last guest on Diamonds was already bringing this up separately as one of her new investigations. They can't stop the truth coming out. Tyranny is in deep trouble. I want to take a final call for Janine Roberts. I want to also encourage everybody to get her book, Greed and Glitter. Janine Roberts, you can get it lots of places, but we have it at InfoWars.com. And this book could save you a lot of money from your wife or girlfriend not wanting diamonds anymore, or at least knowing that they're semi-precious laying on the ground. They're just geographically only in certain areas, so there's a global cartel controlling that. Let's talk to Alex in Florida. Alex, you are on the air with Janine Roberts.
Mr. Jones, it's a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Pleasure to talk to you. What's your question?
Not necessarily for Ms. Roberts, because I was holding for a while. It was about
I thought we were taking callers who were specifically for her. In fact, okay, but go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I've been holding for a while. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. I just wanted to mention that something that was going on in Florida about the economy and the school district literally going bust and cutting everywhere. There's a protest going on, and it's really, really big. I don't know if you know anything about it.
Everything's going to collapse by design, just like Mexico. I'm going to have to go back to you later, because I specifically went to the calls and asked who was for Mrs. Roberts, but thank you. You know, our guest is here to specifically talk about diamonds, or she expanded it out into vaccines. Janine Roberts, in the closing 3 minutes we have left, final comments from you.
Okay. I was going to say that I watched U.S. military scientists in Washington, D.C., they were losing gas from the next-door sewage plant and passing it through an oxyacetylene torch, and they were making diamonds from it, real diamonds, flawless diamonds, that tip missile cones. And they're kind of joking about it because they said the gas from the sewage works next door, it makes white diamonds, most, you know, really fine white diamonds. And I've now found out that De Beers has two plants, one on the Isle of Man off the British coast, another one in South Africa, where they use similar technology to manufacture pure diamonds. So when you get your diamond for your girlfriend, if you do decide to get one, well, just remember it could be made by the sewage works plant.
Yeah, because they burn the methane and then get that pure carbon.
They do. They're just injecting the gas into the oxyacetylene flame. You didn't need anything more than an ordinary welding torch. Do you need high pressure? I mean, technology's changing. And, I mean, if you want to get stones, get emeralds or rubies or some of the other stones. They haven't got such a racket attached to them. It's diamonds that have got the worst racket of the lot. And it's simply, I haven't had a chance to say it, but they went into American high schools during the Second World War. They started off then, said, buy diamonds, it's patriotic, but it's supporting wartime industries. They sold it to us as an ancient tradition. But the old tradition was in India, where diamonds were worn by men because they were so hard, they were seen as a symbol of heredity, not a symbol of feminine charm. And so they changed the old stories and they made a big myth about it and told everyone that if you want to get married, you've got to give your girl a diamond. And they invented a story and they took us for a ride.
And it works like a charm because people love to be suckers, and the very same bankers that control the diamond trade and the drug trade, are, and illegal and legal, are just gang raping us right now. We got to fight them off like you did those thugs.
Bankers, and the, I mean, I feel right on the bankers. I mean, the way if bankers, the way the bankers are looked after their banks, they should be given medical treatment. I mean, they should be given psychological help, because if they make a mess of our banks, why give them more money?
Well, a mess for them is good. Janine,
yeah,
Roberts.
Like, I mean, it's like someone's got a gambling habit. Do you give them more money?
Well, they got SWAT teams. If you don't follow their orders, they control the government. They have SWAT teams in the military. So the fraud will continue endlessly until everybody's homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered. Thank you for joining us, Janine Roberts. Thank you so much.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are working on getting Barbara Lowe Fisher on the horn. One of my producers is out today, and it's a wrong number down here. We'll work on getting her on from the National Vaccine Information Center, one of the founders of that, because they were there and followed the case at this whitewash vaccine damage court that the feds have. And just study after study, government studies, universities, the vaccines, cancer viruses, mercury, killing people, giving them cancer, just thousands and thousands of studies coming out every year. Just devastating people. And government documents getting leaked and congressional hearings, but it's really never on the news. So they come out and say, oh, one doctor says that he faked evidence that vaccines caused autism. And that was the only study to ever say it. And it's all disproven now. Folks, then they try to say people are overreporting and overdiagnosing autism-type disorders. Well, you know, that's funny. People known, you know, one subs group of autistic folks are known as idiot savants. That's the term used. No insult to autistic children. That's the term. Idiot savant. I'm sure a lot of you've seen, what's the film with Rain Man, where he's the card counter and he's the idiot savant. And I mean, there's really people who can do that. They can, you can say, what's 867,297,000 combined with this algorithm of a 284 trillion, you know, Googleplexes, and they can basically tell you the answer to the mathematical equation, but they can't tie their shoelaces, they can't do anything. Idiot savants were 1 in 10 million. I mean, they were incredibly rare, and autistic, well, you know, it was 1 in a million, then it was one in 26,000, and now it was one in 168, and then it was now one in 87, and they have whole wings of schools with the autistic children now, and you take your children to see a movie. I've done it a few times, and they'll have whole rows of the autistic children. And all these poor mothers there that were good mommies and gave them all the shots. And you talk to these mothers and you say, when did this happen? When did this first unfold? And they say, oh, 18 months. And these will be mothers who don't even know about vaccines and autism. They're like, oh, he was 18 months or she was 18 months. We gave him his third round of shots. And then it happened. You'll need to communicate with John if she's there, because I don't know. No one's letting me know. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So all of this goes on. All of this happens. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And there's so many other, you know, situations now where government allows industry to do this. And it's by design. It's eugenics. I mean, I get up on air and I tell people half of corn syrup products have high levels of mercury. Now that's just a tested fact by independent industry and the government. In fact, Google that, folks. Mercury corn syrup, because people still email me don't believe this. Just Google and then hit news, mercury in corn syrup, and I want to show the Washington Post headline. And now they just said, you know what? Mercury isn't bad for you anymore. And I have the newscast. I've played it many times. Not going to play it again. You can just Google. News says mercury's good for you. It turns out that 90%+, I want to Google this next. Just show the news article. 90%+ of infant formula has melamine, deadly plastic, attacks all the organs, the kidneys. They just used to say it was bad. People are dying all over the place from it. They just say, no, it's good for you now. Bayer shipped out over 1 million ampules of factor VIII filled with HIV and hepatitis knowingly, came out in their own documents and lawsuits. Nobody gets in trouble. It's just, hey, you know, HIV is good for you. Hepatitis is good for you. Millions and millions and millions have died. The government admits from the simian virus 40 alone, and there's all these other viruses. You know, you heard last hour about leukemia viruses in your shots. Or all the government studies about how you have a massive increase in Alzheimer's if you take the shots. We do have our guest on with us, and I appreciate Barbara Lowe Fisher, one of the founders of the nonprofit National Vaccine Information Center, on with us. And she's been tracking the propaganda, the disinfo being put out by the government's own court, bought and paid for by the vaccine makers. And so she joins us now for the balance of the hour, and we'll open the phones up later in the hour four. Barbara, great to have you here with us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, break down the latest. I know HPV's killing folks and maiming them, and another's telling us that autism isn't caused by vaccines now with this latest federal court ruling. Break down what's most important for folks to know right now.
My goodness, there's so much going on in the past 3 weeks. Yes, we issued a press release several weeks ago that was actually a special report that was carried on CBS regarding Gardasil vaccine, HPV vaccine, that was licensed in 2006 after being fast-tracked. The FDA allowed Merck to fast-track that vaccine, unfortunately, because it's killing and brain injuring and causing immune system problems, really serious problems for a lot of girls. And what's really tragic, a lot of these girls are very healthy, high-functioning, I mean, straight-A students, athletes, gymnasts, cheerleaders, very, very healthy girls who are getting one or more shots of Gardasil and are dying within days or weeks of this vaccination, are being left with seizure disorders that can't be controlled with medication, rheumatoid arthritis symptoms. They will collapse. Their blood pressure will drop, and they will collapse. There's inflammation of the heart, inflammation of the brain, inflammation of different organs in the body. It's really serious. And if you go onto our website at www.nvic.org, you can search the MedAlerts database, which we have provided the data that from the vaccine adverse event reporting system, where you can go on and you can search, and you can, you, if you just click on HPV4 and search the field, you can read the reports that are being made to the government, which the government has dismissed as being all a coincidence. In October, the government issued a report saying all of these girls who are dying and who are being brain injured, it's all a coincidence. It has nothing to do with Gardasil vaccine. And we issued a report, as I said, several weeks ago. What we did is we went in and we looked and compared Gardasil vaccine reactions, adverse event reports, to the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System with another vaccine that is also used in the same age group, that is 11 to 12-year-old children. And that vaccine is called Menactra. It's a vaccine for meningococcal. And the difference between the two vaccines is that the meningococcal vaccine, Menactra, is given to both boys and girls, whereas Gardasil is only given to girls. And what we found was a 3 to 30 times more reports of serious health problems and deaths after Gardasil than after Menactra vaccine. And, you know, I mean, we're talking twice as many emergency room visits. We're talking seven times the reports for the field disabled or did not recover. It was clear that you had two vaccines, and if the vaccines were equally reactive, if it was all a coincidence, you would have actually had a higher incidence in the Menactra group. Why? Because Menactra is only given once. It's given singly, and it's given to boys and girls. You have about 16 million doses of that vaccine that have been given as of about the middle of last year, and 15 million doses of Gardasil. Gardasil is given three times. So you really should have, if everything was the same, you should have had more reaction reports after Menactra. So clearly, we've got a problem with Gardasil. And I think that it's really important for anybody out there who is even considering having their daughter vaccinated with this vaccine, they've got to do their own research before they take that child in.
Well, I just want to add that I just noticed with exact headlines from articles we've written and linked to that there's some type of Google block right now on separate issue. I was just looking for it. Melamine and 90% of baby formula. That was a Washington Post headline. It's not even available on news or web. They are scrubbing. Have you run into this?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because I did. There was someone who said to me the other day that she had gone in and she was actually researching hepatitis B vaccine, and that reports that she'd been able to get on that vaccine prior were no longer on. I think this is the Google search engine, but she found them on other search engines. And I don't know whether there is this whitewashing going on.
There definitely is. I put the exact headline in, and it's not there. This is getting sick. You know, I want to get into the facts and the data with you when we come back, but right now, Barbara, I want to understand, how do they think they're going to get away with all of this? I mean, not just the vaccines, but mercury in half of the corn syrup, 90%+ of the baby formula, melamine. And before, it's a scientific fact, it's killing people. Now they just say, no, it's good. I mean, it's almost like mass mental illness has happened.
Well, you know, I mean, certainly we have absolutely do not have enough regulation of the toxins which are being put into our environment by the chemical companies, by pharmaceutical companies, by many different companies that are producing these products that are toxic. And it's only going to be changed by the people rising up and demanding that the politicians that they elect, the legislators they elect at the state and federal level, are responsive to the concerns of the people, because otherwise we are going to become consumers of toxic product, and particularly in the area of vaccination, when there's calls to end the exemptions, to end religious and philosophical exemption, leaving only medical exemption, which you can't even get anymore, we become captive consumers of toxic products.
Barbara Lowe Fisher, stay there. I want to give out the website for folks that want to get informed. We're in a major info war with the government. I want to go through this latest whitewash with Keith Olbermann really disgracing himself, trying to come out and say that people faked autism information as a way to discredit it all. Just eugenics.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. people are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare, and maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit OrganicaSeed.com. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
When you look at how the International Crime Syndicate, known as the New World Order,
well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell,
treats the Third World, you'll understand they're totally ruthless and doing the same things to us. Barbara Lowe Fisher, the head of the preeminent organization that fights for people to know the truth about vaccines and know what's happening, the National Vaccine Information Center is our guest. Please continue going down the Holocaust that's happening.
Well, you had mentioned prior to break that, you know, what's happened in the U.S. Court of Claims here in Washington with regard to giving compensation to children who have been injured by vaccines. You know, many years ago when the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed, our children were only being asked by government, recommended by government, to get 7 vaccines. It was 23 doses of 7 vaccines. It was measles, mumps, and rubella in MMR, and DPT, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, and polio. So 23 doses of 7 vaccines. That law was supposed to be for vaccines that, you know, like polio, that we were trying to control polio. It was not for vaccines like Gardasil, as I was speaking of before, or some rotavirus and these other vaccines that have now come out since then. Now our children are getting 69 doses of 16 vaccines, and a lot of children are regressing after getting all of these vaccines, sometimes 8 to 10 vaccines on one day. And they're regressing, and they're becoming autistic, learning disabled, having ADHD, ADD, intestinal bowel disorders, et cetera. Well, the government doesn't really want to acknowledge that this is occurring. And so what's happened over the years is a system that was supposed to provide parents with an alternative to suing doctors in court. It was really what I call an experiment in tort reform. There was a lot of pressure for tort reform 20 years ago. And Congress was persuaded by the vaccine manufacturers. They told Congress and the country they were going to leave this country without any vaccines. Congress said, we are going to protect these companies. So we came to the table and fought for as much as we had no power. We came and fought for as much as we could get for the families. Now, what was supposed to be a no-fault, non-adversarial alternative to a lawsuit has turned into a mock court trial in this U.S. Court of Claims, where instead of being allowed to plead your case in front of a jury of your peers, you are pleading your case in front of one person, a special master appointed by the U.S. Court of Claims. So over the years, what the Departments of Justice and Departments of Health and Human Services have done is that they've really gutted the original deal that was made in this law, which was supposed to presume causation in the absence of a better explanation. That is, children were supposed to be compensated if you could not find an alternative explanation to why they became brain injured or died after vaccination. It was never supposed to be a place where you were supposed to prove causation in fact, like you have to in a civil court of law. But over the years, because they've gutted this system and made it very, very weak and very hard for plaintiff's lawyers and the victims, it's turned into this joke. And the result, the culmination of it, was what happened several weeks ago when the U.S. Court of Claims, and you know, I don't even know how this happened, and that there was like this class action suit, in effect, that was brought on behalf of like about 5,000 children who had regressed after vaccination into autism. And there were only two very narrow biological mechanism arguments made that had to do with thimerosal and MMR vaccine, even though there are many other biological mechanisms that could have been argued or been argued differently. So they lumped all of these children into two small, narrow arguments as to why they were brain injured by these vaccines. And what happened was, because the really good studies that should be published in the medical literature don't get published, why don't they get published? Because the pharmaceutical industry has an inordinate influence on what is published in the medical literature. And that was the same week that the same day that court the judgment was issued, which denied these children compensation. The British Medical Journal had the courage, for once, to publish an article by Tom Jefferson out of Italy, an epidemiologist who has a lot of integrity, who publishes reviews for the Cochrane Collaboration. And he showed that on influenza vaccine, for example, he showed, with doing an actual epidemiological analysis, that the studies that are funded by the pharmaceutical companies get preferential treatment in the medical journals. And those who are not funded by pharma don't get published or are not valued as highly. So what did the U.S. Court of Claims judges have, special masters have to consider? They had inadequate evidence to consider officially because you don't have the studies published that should be published. Plus, you have lousy studies published. So what happened net was, They rejected these three cases, which is going to have an impact on all of those other children.
Yeah, setting a precedent. Barbara Lowe Fisher, stay there. We're going to come back, get more into this, and talk about solutions, because we are reaching critical mass. Folks are really waking up right now to the fact that these vaccines are killing and maiming a lot of people. All right, going back to Barbara Lowe Fisher, some of your phone calls for her coming up specifically on the vaccine issue, 1-800-259-9231. Now, I know in globalist documents we covered in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, they say they would use vaccines to put the soft kill weapons, the viruses, the chemicals to dumb people down to create this new society. But there's no doubt that these big companies know it's hurting people, the government knows it's hurting people, and they're doing it. And I guess we should probably get, you know, into a discussion with you about the fact that all over the country they do these stunts where they say it's the law, you've got to have shots or you're going to jail, when there's waivers to not have to take them to go to school or work at a certain business. But those waivers themselves aren't even law to get one. Now they're trying to deny waivers. So they train us first to take a waiver, then they take the waiver away when there's not even a law. That's kind of like the NIS and the animal ID and all that, too, taking over farms. It's this color of law where they train us to do things that aren't even the law. Where is the fight going? Because as people wake up to the fact that vaccines are just deadly and horrible, and as now we see PR ads everywhere about how corn syrup's good for us and how vaccines are good for us and how melamine's okay for us. I mean, that's on the, you know, TV now as ads. That shows they're getting desperate. So I mean, that's exciting to know people are waking up, but the establishment's counter-striking, saying we're just going to go ahead and try to actually pass laws to make you take them because, you're figuring out that we lied to you and there's no law. I mean, that's a mouthful, but can you comment on that?
I agree with you. I'll tell you what I'm really concerned about. In the early 1990s, pharmaceutical companies and government, and actually even stars in Hollywood, unfortunately, decided it was a great idea to set up electronic vaccine tracking systems. They started in cities, and then they moved to states, and now we're going to see a national medical records electronic tracking system set up under the new stimulus plan in the reform of health insurance. And the vaccine tracking systems are going to be definitely become part of that. And, you know, in 1995, Donna Shalala and HHS appropriated the Social Security number for use in vaccine tracking systems. The vaccine issue was the first used to justify electronic tracking of citizens in this country.
And let me just add mm-hmm. for folks that aren't aware of this, they're saying under the new national ID and the new medical monitoring system that they're setting the policies through the bioethicist boards of the hospitals, mm-hmm. and they're doing these scare stories about tuberculosis and things. They let all the immigrants come in, that they don't test them, but then they're saying citizens and people won't be able to fly. They're actually proposing this, I'm sure you've heard of it, if you haven't had all your shots up to date. So they're really getting ready to clamp down.
Well, indeed, in 1991, they forwarded this sort of national healthcare ID idea and the electronic medical tracking. At that time, people were outraged, and they protested against it. I remember NVIC, my organization, testified and said, you know, this is not a good idea. We knew the vaccine tracking systems was what they wanted, and we knew that there was going to be societal punishments attached, most likely, for not complying. Back then, there was a suggestion by different people that you shouldn't be able to file your state or federal taxes and take an exemption for children, especially if you couldn't show proof that the child had gotten all government-recommended vaccines. You couldn't get a driver's license. They were talking at that time about planes, you know, getting on planes or going into stadiums or whatever. And at the time, society was not ready for it. Well, they took their time, and now this is going to be forwarded. I have always been very, very concerned about this because, you know, once you have a tracking of everybody's movements and you have a tracking of everybody's health care records and vaccination status, it is easy to attach societal sanctions for not, for example, vaccinating with all government-recommended vaccines. Since 9-1-1, there definitely has been an attempt to define disease control as a matter of national and international
security. Let me stop there. This isn't some science fiction movie. Tommy Thompson, as Health and Human Services Secretary, 5 years ago traveled to high schools all over the country and colleges and said, every American, by law, needs an implantable microchip to stop epidemics so we can track all of you. So they're openly saying forced chipping on record, but then he refused to take it himself. So a lot of times people stand down to this stuff because it sounds so crazy, but it's the government and the corporations pushing it. And I know there are a bunch of eugenicists that want to carry out healthcare rationing and getting rid of the old. Tom Daschle in his book said that. It's in the bill to start rationing. So this is eugenics. This isn't good government healthcare, you know, which is bad enough. It gives the government total control to make you do what they want. And in England, as you know, Barbara, but the listeners probably don't, 2 years ago, they started threatening people under government health care that they had to have all their vaccines, or they're denying not just children, but adults critical care. You pay your taxes, you're in a socialist system, and they say, you won't put in your body what we want, you're not going to get health care.
Well, you know, you have to understand it. This happened to my son. When my son was vaccine injured in 1980, there is no way that I ever imagined that I would learn the things that I've learned over the last 27 years. And I've sat at the table with people from industry, from government, from special interest groups funded by industry. I do not believe that all of them are deliberately trying to hurt people. What I think is that ideology has definitely blinded people. They do see these vaccines. I remember Robert Mendelson, who was the founder of the holistic healthcare movement in this country back in the 1970s, used to say that vaccination is the new sacrament. And it is almost like a religion.
No, it's a government religion. Oh, give me the sacrament.
It's like a religion in that they believe, or at least, you know, I can't ascribe what everybody...
Look, they're eugenicists. They want to set the precedent that we line up and take whatever shots they say, just like going into the showers. Go ahead.
I do believe that they want us to take, absolutely want to have, create a system whereby we will be forced to take the products, the pharmaceutical products and the vaccines that they believe are going to, quote, keep the society safe. Now, I don't agree.
Well, they've been doing national drills to forcibly inoculate us under FEMA.
Well, and I'm concerned that we have, for whatever reason they're doing it, we as a society, as a people, as a free people, need to stand up and say, state legislators, federal legislators, you have got to pass legislation that is going to protect our right to informed consent to use of any pharmaceutical product or medical intervention that can kill or injure us or our children. That is a fundamental right. The right to bodily integrity, to individual autonomy, is a human right. And we look the other way and are complacent and apathetic and trust blindly at our peril.
Now, let me say this.
For sure.
Let me say this, Barbara Lowe Fisher, and get your take on it as one of the preeminent experts on this. We're talking to all the doctors and, you know, constantly tracking all the latest developments and research. even if vaccines had never hurt anybody and were wonderful and were great, it would be a wicked, evil, dangerous precedent to set a precedent where whatever the government says they want in our body, they can force, because down the road, some evil group could come into control and do that. But instead,
I totally agree with you. That's a very important statement. We have, you know, incrementally, our freedoms are being taken from us. And we and people have, are lead such busy lives. And they need to understand, they have to every single day be vigilant. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. I believe that was Thomas Jefferson or someone who said that. But it is so true, because set up an infrastructure and a government that doesn't allow the people to have free choice, particularly in healthcare, then somebody, as you point out, could come in and use that against all of us.
And then you look at the truth, the atomic soldiers, the Tuskegee Airmen, the children being radiated to death, thousands of them here in the U.S., then you know it is a bad group already in control. They set it up. It is evil intentions. It is bad. You have a bunch of lazy bureaucrats, control freaks at health departments and state health departments and federal level. Yeah, they're just following orders. They're compartmentalized. They're blissfully ignorant. They shoot their kids up and watch them get in the corner and be gone forever. And they just rationalize it. It's a sick cult. And then they turn it into a cult, like everybody dying of cancer because the hormones in the food, the women and the breast cancer. They make that a weird cult of, getting together and giving money to the very groups engineering it. This is eugenics, Barbara, and this is being done by design. And bottom line, what collision do you see happening? I mean, the collision's already going on, but I see it intensifying as the death, the destruction, the maiming, the pain, the UN's been caught putting sterilization hormones and tetanus shots. That's on record. I mean, as more and more die and they go, it's good, it's good, it's good. We want to put it in mosquitoes so you have to take it. We want to put it in your food so you have to take it. And as everybody's getting sick and they just keep going, the men in SWAT teams will drop by if you don't take it. Your loving government. I mean, how can the cattle not see what's happening to them?
Well, I've been really interested in how Hollywood, in both film and on television, in drama in the evenings, is starting to sort of shine a light on some of this through fiction. I mean, if you look at some of the films that have been out, whether it's I Am Legend, V for Vendetta, some of the films, the 11th Hour on that is now a series.
That's because so many Hollywood people have given the shots to their kids. I know Charlie Sheen, and it's hurt their children.
Well, certainly our creative people in society, our authors, our screen writers, playwriters, they do sometimes see where things are going, and they're like they ring the bell, and I definitely see this. More and more, you're seeing these themes of science gone amok, physicians who kind of are playing God, and the result, when you don't have the people have control over those who are in positions of power who mm-hmm. are playing God.
Mm-hmm. That was my next point, Barbara. We got to have you back up soon for 2 hours. Once a year is not enough. We appreciate you. Want to give out the website. But the other side of that, my wife tells me, she watches a little bit of TV, there's some show called The Practice, and it's all about how got to get the abortion, you're backwards if you don't want it, just selling abortion. I mean, even if you're for abortion, what's the fact of selling it? And then selling, everybody dies or gets sick at the clinic because one person hadn't been vaccinated. If you're supposedly vaccinated, somebody who isn't vaccinated isn't going to infect you. So we also see counter propaganda.
Well, certainly, if one is going to take the risk with getting a vaccine, because every vaccine carries a risk that's greater for some than others, then one should at least be at least 99 to 100% guaranteed that that vaccine is going to work. And you're right. If the vaccines are as effective as the companies said they are, and the government has said they are, then you should have the vaccinated should have nothing to fear from the unvaccinated, and there shouldn't be such an issue about forcing people to get vaccinated if they don't want to.
Now, what about what happened in Maryland a year and a half ago? I had the state attorney on, and he said, I haven't vaccinated my kids. And I said, well, why are there police dogs? Well, in case there was any problem. Guys in riot gear, police dogs, thousands of kids, 1,500 kids and their parents, thinking that it was the law to take shots, crying, not wanting it subconsciously, knowing it was bad. And then they didn't even show them waivers or let them know. I mean, this mass fraud of every year before school saying it's the law, you got to take shots when it's not the law. That right there should make everybody run from vaccines.
Well, I think a lot of people looked at that TV coverage, and I was there that day, and I can tell you it was a very chilling sight, because they made sure that that SWAT team with those police dogs and carrying guns were very visible. They did it deliberately, and they would not let anyone into that courthouse to look at what was happening, including the media. And so I thought it was just a very chilling scene, and I thought it was a wake-up call for everybody, because this is an inappropriate flexing of state power.
Well,
why were those kids lined up with their parents? Why were they summoned? Because they hadn't gotten a chicken pox or a hepatitis B shot. Give me a break.
Well, let's stop right there. I mean, let's address and recognize you were there. We had other eyewitnesses on, but I didn't know you were there. I want you to hear you lay it out. There's a mass hoax where they say you'll be arrested if you don't take it. And then I have the state attorney on, and he laughs and says, my kids don't take it. Yeah, Alex, I know it's not the law. Like, it's funny. And they think they're there crying, thinking it's the law. It was a mass exercise of false arrest, of false imprisonment. I mean, it's just with SWAT teams and dogs and armor and men in black and people lined up being injected, and it wasn't even a law. I mean, it's a crime.
Well, you know, I have one memory that really will always stay with me. I was there with my son, and we had a video camera, and I was trying to talk with the parents who were exiting with their kids to interview them about what had happened in the courthouse, since nobody was allowed in. And there were these cement balls that were like hundreds of feet away from the entrance. And I don't know why. I guess I was clueless. I didn't realize that we weren't supposed to be on the other side of the balls. We were supposed to be on the outer edge. Well, I had stepped inside to just like 12 inches to talk to this mom who came out with her children. And while we were talking, one of the SWAT team with his hand on his gun and the dog came out of the courthouse walking toward me. And I'm telling you, Alex, it was like I felt this sinking. I felt my throat go into my stomach, you know, kind of flash of fear. And I thought to myself, this must be how any person who in any time in the world who has come up against the power of the state felt when they knew that power was coming toward them. And it was, I thought, this is so inappropriate. I did get on, he motioned for me, he directed me as he walked toward me with that dog to get on the other side of that cement ball. Now, it was just such an inappropriate.
No, stop. It wasn't inappropriate. It was hardcore, vicious tyranny. And once we cow to them, you go to D.C., New York, cops say, no cameras, turn them off, we're going to watch you with our cameras. It's just, you're a slave, get down there and lick my boots. And meanwhile, those cops are shooting their kids up, and their kids are doing this, and the cops are high-fiving. It's just, it's really fun to serve the system and be evil and to not care. And I saw the dogs and the cops, and they tell them to stand there like this going, you know, we have video in the upcoming film, The Obama Deception, with just cops in New York, literally with black helmets going. I mean, it's total tyranny, and you're the enemy because you've got a video camera. You're the enemy. You're trying to talk to other slaves. You're trying to interface. He's gotta stop you. I mean, what a slob. What a piece of crap. I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it was something that I just never thought that I would experience in America, and that is why I felt really sad that day, and I wrote a blog about it. I have a blog, vaccineawakening.blogspot.com, where I have commentary on what I see happening. And since I've been doing this for 27 years, I kind of have a perspective, you know, on how this has evolved. And I do share your concern about the erosion of civil liberties and this sort of like Big Brother type system that's about to, I think, become more oppressive if we don't, as individuals, stand up and work to correct the system. And this is not how our founders envisioned America would be in the 21st century, I am sure.
Absolutely. Again, the police nationwide are being trained to forcibly inject you and your family. They've hired 26,000 clergy response team preachers to brainwash their flock for it. Don't take those special shots during the emergency. They're soft kill weapons. We have the documents. Be aware of the eugenics operation. Makes Hitler look tame. I'll be back live with an abbreviated transmission this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 5 to 7 Eastern. Barbara Lowe Fisher, I'm going to get her back up in the next few weeks for 2 hours to really break things down and talk about solutions to fight this. But I want to take a call or two from Linda and Sarah, maybe Dozer and Adam, we'll see in the time we have left. Don't forget, the Obama Deception is already on sale right now, the new film. Be sure to be you're the first to get that. Infowars.com, theobamadeception.net. You can find out more right there. Barbara, we've been at prisonplanet.tv, we've been putting your blog and the National Vaccine Information Center website up. But audibly, give everybody those website addresses.
Yes, www.nvic.org. That's for National Vaccine Information Center, nvic.org. And the blog is vaccineawakening.blogspot.com.
Or just Google Barbara Lowe Fisher, and I see you out there fighting everywhere, and you've gained so much credibility over the years. I even see you on a lot of mainstream television. And it seems like we're winning the fight to wake people up, but we're losing the fight with them forcing it on us. I see an explosion.
I do see a train crash coming. I think that as the people become more enlightened, as they understand and have the information, and certainly the internet in the last decade has really brought this information to the people that they didn't have access to before. And so, and the internet is a way for people to communicate with each other around the world. So those in power are having a hard time controlling the information.
So they got to have a cop with a German Shepherd and a gun marched towards a woman with her little boy. Now expanding on that, I want to take a call or two here. I wish we had more time, but unfortunately the show is basically over. But if you're a police officer, government bureaucrat, this is hurting your children too. You're with the people.
Yeah.
I can't understand how these control freaks in government relish lying and forcing vaccines.
Well, you know, I remember when the Berlin Wall went up, and I remember when it fell, and I remember when the guards were told to shoot the people who were trying to go over the Berlin Wall. And at some point, they just laid down their guns and said, we're not going to shoot anymore. And, you know, I've always predicted that we were going to go through a period of great oppression before we are going to break through to what I call an awakening, which is why I call my blog a vaccine awakening. I think that we may be entering a time where we will have oppression, but the people, I believe in the power of the people. I believe in their common sense and in their wisdom, and ultimately they will do what they need to do to protect the biological integrity of themselves and their children, because our children is all we have. That is the future, and we have the biological imperative. It dictates that we must protect the genetic integrity of our children and biological integrity. So I believe the people will ultimately win, but I think there'll
That's
be a
right.
lot of suffering in between.
That's right, and the mercury actually attacks the DNA. That's what you're alluding to. I apologize to Linda, Sarah, Dozer, Adam, and others. We're just out of time. Barbara, I always forget to have you on, and I know you're very busy, but can I have my producer right now look at your book and set you up for 2 hours in the next few weeks so we can... These people are calling in with stories of it killing their children or maiming them, so we can take calls and go through and cover more of the carnage.
Okay, I'll hang on.
Okay, yeah, let's do this right now.
Call me back.
I'm going to have on this number. I'm going to have Rob call you back and set you up right now. But one more time, give folks those websites so they can see all the documentation.
It's www.nvic for National Vaccine Information Center, nvic.org, and vaccineawakening.blogspot.com.
Yes, okay, thank you. Rob's going to call you right now, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Take care. We're out of time. This is what this show is all about, solutions. Showing you how something's hurting you, showing you how there's the tyranny, so you have the right to say no and empower yourself. The state's rights issues, all of it. God bless you all. See you back live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Retransmission until then starts at prisonplanet.com, infowars.net, and, of course, prisonplanet.tv. Get out there and wake people up. Fight tyranny.